week as the next generation continues near and near. Backwards compatibility, forwards compatibility, and all things preparation dominate the news. Microsoft extends an olive branch to Xbox 360 players without their needing to pay for it. Rock Band continues for another gaming generation. Teasers of what those who buy a new console will see when they turn it on continue to drip out, and plenty more. I don't have anything more specific to say, so let's welcome our hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, and get the show started right now, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show, where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live once again with this episode number 839 for October the 18th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined with my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Sup?
Hi, how are you?
I am here. I have had the entirety of October has been like busy.
Mm-hmm.
I rocked the runway last night.
Did you? Oh, you had a runway show last night, a fashion thing?
Yeah, we, well, it's going to be airing next Saturday, and I'll get some information out if anyone's into it, but I mean, it's no secret that I'm one of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and
oh, yeah, you've talked
Sacramento
about
porn, Sacramento is finally doing Project Nunway, where we do a charity fashion show, and then they vote on it, and we win nothing except donations. But our theme this year was vice and virtue, and I didn't do two outfits because, you know, time. I did chastity, and I'll put it this way. My outfit is a bit of a political statement on just how hard the concept of chastity has murdered women over history.
Is people going to be able to check that out online somewhere, or?
Absolutely. Tickets are still on sale. I'll link the thing through the sister's website, and then there'll be more information popping up on that.
All right. Excellent. Yep. Also joining us, of course, every week here, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey, Loki, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. The cat has, you know, taken up her position, knowing that I'm on a video call now, that she has to start screaming at me.
Hi, Stella.
We weren't here last week, and that was my bad because I was taking a trip, it was something I needed to do. So I missed the show last week. But Loki, with there not being a show, were you able to get a little extra time in to work on your game?
Yeah, I think I did work a little bit on it. So I did some coding. I actually have time off later this week to work on it more as well. I was working with the person that was doing my music and audio, so they're done, finally, with getting me everything that I needed for that. And then I've been going through and adjusting some of the sound effects to make things how I like. I actually had two different people working on music and sound, so I'm just taking the best parts of both of them and tweaking my own stuff to do that.
All right. Well, so, I look forward to seeing your game at some point. I hope you hurry up and finish it already. All right.
I'll still get you a pizza, dude.
All right. It's no secret for those that are watching on Twitch, because we do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And if you are watching live, you're like, oh, they're on the four shot tonight. So there's a special guest on the show. And yes, we do have a guest. So say hello to, and I think some of the, because our guest has not been on the show before, some of the audio I think is looping through a little bit. So if you're hearing some artifacting or something, sorry about that. It's just things that happen when we change the formula a little bit. So, but we do want to welcome our very special guest. Please say hello. Oh, awesome. Yes, earphones are great. Say hello, everybody, to E. Welcome, E.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, E.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. It's fantastic to have you here. I'm very happy to have you here. And how are you doing?
Doing all right. Fun fact, your episode 666, I did the music for it.
Oh, okay. Yes, that was you. Okay. Okay. That was you. Same guy. All right.
Yes.
So, all right. So it's only, you're only about, maybe about 150 episodes after the fact, but that's all right. Now we get to see the guy who did, episode number 666. No, but you do much more than that. And actually, glad you're here tonight. You know, we have a lot going on in the gaming world, and we have a lot of news we can talk about. We will get into that later, but you know, There's a lot going on in the world right now, right? With the pandemic, COVID-19, and, you know, the fact that we are staying a lot more at home, we're not getting out in a lot of social settings as much as we used to. The fact of the matter is that is starting to take its toll on some of our mental health, right? That's no secret. I'm sure a lot of us are dealing with that sort of situation. Well, now you, E, you kind of are interesting because you kind of have some real estate in this intersection between mental health awareness and video games, right? So tell us a little bit about some of your projects that you work with.
Okay, so right now my main thing that I'm working on is I have my own podcast called Am I Mental? We are a live podcast that goes every Thursday at 6, and we go through Sprecher, so we actually have a chat room, so we can actually interact with our listeners right then and there.
Nice.
And we do, you know, and it's a weekly podcast where people talk about their issues dealing with mental health. And each week's a different story from a different person. As a matter of fact, your very own Jamie here is going to be a guest on my podcast, not this Thursday, but the Thursday after.
Okay, great.
And as far as gaming goes, I mean, I've been a gamer since the old Atari 2600. So,
same.
Yeah, and definitely I'm in a lot of different little groups right now. The big thing right now that we've been playing is a lot of Among Us.
Oh.
Highly social. Very fun at brain exercises, and we actually I have a group chat that I've put together. I didn't put it together myself, but I've been adding to it a lot. But we have a group chat where it's just for Among Us. We don't talk politics, we don't talk pandemics, we just share memes and play Among Us and other games. And it's been really helpful, you know, especially I mean, me myself right now, I'm a stay-at-home dad, you know, I've been unemployed for over a year now. And my podcast has been going since March, so we're coming up on our one-year anniversary, you know, in a few more months. But that's all I really have going on. That, you know, taking care of the kids, making sure my daughter gets her schoolwork done on time, and all that jazz. And also being in California with all the smoke that's been in the air, you know, it just, it really weighs down on someone.
Well, now, being a full-time parent is no short career, so especially in this day and age where all the kids are going to school virtually and stuff. So I'm sure you keep very busy between that and your different projects as well. I think I remember you mentioning that you also had like a Facebook group that was kind of at this intersection of mental health and video games.
Yeah, there's a group that I got brought into by one of our listeners, actually. It's called Just Pause. And it's just for gamers with mental health issues and discussing, you know, challenges and helping each other brainstorm solutions like, hey, you know, it sounds like maybe you have seasonal affective disorder like I do. You know, maybe when the sun comes out, go take a walk, you know, and even if you don't want to, it will help. You know, things like that. You know, we're all trying to help each other out. And we're also sharing game reviews about what's coming up and all that, too.
Let me ask you some questions, kind of diving into this topic about like video games and mental health. Well, first, like generally, you know, obviously this pandemic was something that, you know, in the beginning, I think some of us thought, oh, it'll be a couple weeks and then they'll, you know, figure out how to get it out of the U.S. and it'll be gone. It'll be a done deal. And here we are going on month number, I lost count. I think we're on like month 7 of this whole thing going on. And it still doesn't
200 something days.
Yeah. Now it's just kind of one of those, well, we're just hedging our bets, hoping a vaccine will be here real soon. So, I mean, this is continuing to go on and on and on. So what are some ways, let's talk like generally speaking, that like people listening to this show, what are some ways that people can like help their mental health and make sure that they're not like spiraling, I guess, for lack of a better word, because of everything that's going on in the world?
Well, one of the biggest things, and it's a recurring theme on the show, like every week it pops up almost every week, is that, you know, you are not alone. That even if you feel that you're going to inconvenience someone by reaching out, reach out. You're not inconveniencing anyone. The real problem with depression is that it gives you a lesser self-image, and it causes you to basically maximize and minimize things. You maximize and build mountains out of other people's everything, and you minimize and flatten out everything that is you. A great example is like during group therapy. If you ever have to go to group therapy, or if you've ever gone, you're going to sit around, and if you're depressed, you're going to hear all these people telling their stories, and you're going to think, wow, every single person here has it worse than me. And you're going to feel like an imposter. then when it's your turn to share and you share, you're going to look around and see everybody's looking at you going, wow, that person has it really bad. I'm an imposter. So it's really important to just reach out. You know, people care. Even if you think they don't, they do. As a matter of fact, 2 episodes ago was really, really heavily about that. We actually had someone who did a TED Talk who they had a student commit suicide when they were their first year teaching. A few years later, they had another one attempt suicide. She found out about it, wrote a letter to that student. That student started crying, going, I didn't know anybody cared. So she sat down for 2 months and wrote 130 handwritten letters, took a picture of it, put it up on Facebook, sharing, this is what I'm doing. She didn't think it was anything special. It's just, this is what I have to do. 2 days later, she's getting calls from BBC. She's getting calls from Good Morning America, Washington Post, New York Times, USA Today. Everybody wants her on the show or wants an interview for their news articles.
Wow.
And it all boils down to the same thing. You always feel like you're less than you actually are. Just reach out.
It's interesting you kind of bring up that feeling of being an imposter, because Lord knows I have felt that imposter syndrome, right? It's kind of like another way of framing it. I have felt that, I can't tell you how many times, doing some of these things I've been able to do because of the success, I guess, of this podcast. Things like being a guest on Dragon Con panels and getting to sometimes moderate these celebrity panels. I have absolutely had those moments of, oh my God, at some point these folks are going to find out I am not Ninja. I am not, you know, one of these YouTubers that have like a million views. They're going to be like, what the hell is this guy doing on stage? Get him off of there. Like that imposter syndrome stuff, that can really mess with your head. It really can.
Oh, absolutely. And I bet you when you were done, people came up and complimented you afterwards on the job you did.
Yes. Yeah. Not. I try to be humble, but yes. And that kind of helped with, you know, some of those other things that I was feeling, is I was like, oh, thank gosh for that validation. Maybe I'll be able to sneak through and do this again another year.
Right. And that's another thing that is really big. And with our chat group, absolutely amazing. Some of the most fanatically loyal fans I've ever seen. And I mean, I've done professional performances where I was performing in front of crowds of 10,000 people. And I've never seen this, where it comes down to, it doesn't matter what your story is. Your story is yours. Your struggle is yours. It is valid. Just because you feel someone else has it worse than you doesn't mean that others aren't going to look and think that you have it worse than them. And even that doesn't matter. It's your struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then really, the validation, it helps a lot to get through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think knowing that like your concerns and your situation is valid is huge, no matter what the scope or size of it is. Like, you know, like you mentioned before, when it comes to this pandemic situation and everything, we are all going through this thing together, you know, so there's a lot of feelings that we're all feeling.
Right. And as politicized as it has become, let's face it, a virus is not a politician. A virus is a virus.
Right.
And it's hitting all of us.
Right.
Some harder than others, but still, in the end, we're all going through it.
Absolutely. Jamie, you were trying to add something?
Yeah, I was saying that earlier in the year, when I was still sick with pneumonia and playing a lot of Animal Crossing, after the fact, because, I mean, my dad died, my mother-in-law died, you know, a lot of people were grieving and couldn't go mourn their family members. We were talking about how people were using video games as their coping mechanism. I have an entire cemetery in my cute little Animal Crossing village, and each grave there represents somebody or something close to me. And aww. And my friend built like a memorial garden to her mother who died a year ago in Animal Crossing. And, you know, there were funerals in Final Fantasy 14. You know, they had that whole procession walk. You know, and also the creators in WoW are really good about putting up memorials to very notable people that have been lost, you know. And so I think that there's a major juxtaposition with those of us who work or live in gaming culture with our different ways of dealing with our own mental health that aren't necessarily something that your average psychologist, say, would look into, although there are some studies about it. I'm seeing more studies on it. And especially for me being neurodivergent, you know, my way of coping with something is going to be completely different than how someone else copes with it. You know, I feel like an imposter every day because I have to mask my different neurobiology from all the humans of the earth. There is a site that summed up what being autistic is like for me. It was called anotherplanet.org, because I feel like I'm from another planet sometimes. And now then all of these human people are weird.
Now I have a place to go to learn more.
I have to see if it's still running. It's been a while.
All right.
But all of these aspects of how we deal with everything, the hobbies that we do, the things that we enjoy, all of that wraps into our personal coping mechanisms. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, E, you can appreciate this since you were talking about the Among Us memes earlier, because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night on Twitch. So we do have our chat room going at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I am going to be a little bit picky-choosy in the comments I read tonight, because some people are being very transparent with their mental health. And I don't want to necessarily read people that are like, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, because I don't know if you really want that on the podcast. So I am going to kind of refrain a little bit from reading every comment. But I think you can appreciate these comments, E. Some people say, ActDef says, I'm not an imposter. You're all sus to me. DJ Ram S says, I think ActDef is acting hella sus. Bobby Blackwell says, why did you just climb out of the vent?
Love it. I absolutely love it.
And ActDef reminded me that that's a Tumblr account, so it probably still is up.
Nice. I'm not about to chat at all. When I'm running my podcast, I have the co-host doing most of the reading of the chat room and moderating, but I'll still read it because, I mean, we don't have a ton of people in there. It's easy enough to keep up with, but I have to pay more attention to the guest and try to pay less attention to the chat.
Yeah. We've gotten crazy multitasking skills over the 18 years doing this show. So,
but chat has been an integral part of the show since we started.
Yeah. If I take a weird angle, it's probably because I'm looking over at the chat room because I'm situated weird for the four shot tonight. But that's all right.
And I'm usually doing the in-person typing chat, so.
Yeah.
Nice. It's like when we do our show, we do video between each other, but only for each other. It's only audio otherwise. Mm. And like the guests and the co-hosts will see me all of a sudden just like get this grin. And thank goodness for my 26 years of phone support and IT experience to where I don't just burst out laughing. But I come close with some of the comments in chat. Like someone's talking about, I lost my mom. I've had this big drinking problem. And then something funny pops up in chat. And I'm just like trying so hard not to laugh.
I bet. Because that's
part of it is the live aspect of it. So it's been kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. I love the live aspect of it.
Getting back to the mental health and using video games to kind of deal with that, Dark Sakura brought up that she had the memorials that she had in her Animal Crossing game. And interestingly enough, that is also something I ended up doing. I lost my mom in 2017, and that, that's not something you really ever get over. And when there was the mom character in Animal Crossing that started sending all the gifts, I kind of felt like I needed a place to put those gifts. So I set up a memorial kind of as well. So I'm kind of like, Animal Crossing is a very interesting sort of game. And I'm not sure how well versed you are in Animal Crossing, but it's interesting because of the fact that it came out right when this pandemic happened, that you have so many people that have been using this game to kind of deal with what's going on. I don't know. I saw you kind of shaking your head. Maybe it's not a game you're really playing, but have you heard much about how people are using this to cope? Or?
Oh, yeah. I've heard a lot about how people are using it to cope. I don't have a Switch. I just have my phone and I have a Mac. So I
– sure.
And the mobile version of Animal Crossing, no.
Not the same.
I tried it. No,
not the same.
No,
I gave up on that.
Yeah, it's like it's not that I don't want to. I just don't have the means right now to play it. But I've seen, of course, I watched some video play of it and all that. It looks like a great game. But yeah, the ability to go ahead and do that little bit of free world crafting and being able to do those memorials, I've seen a lot of people talking about how, for them, that's what helped them with the whole grieving process. And grieving comes up a lot on our show. And do you mind if I plug a book? It's not mine.
No, go
it's
ahead.
Somebody else's book, but it's a great one. It's called The Grief Recovery Handbook.
One has helped me.
We talk a lot of we plug a lot of video games that aren't ours, so a book is okay too.
No, fair enough. But yeah, The Grief Recovery Handbook, it changed my life. Mm-hmm. It helped me find methods and avenues of grieving that were much more healthy than just sitting and dwelling and hoping it goes away. It doesn't. You have to do something. And that's where, the Animal Crossing stuff really helps.
If I may also throw this in, there's a good TED Talk, and I think it's by Brené Brown, about closure and how it's truly not a healthy concept, that there's never closure. You can never separate yourself from your grief or your death, because you also separate yourself from the good memories that come with it as well.
Exactly.
You know, there's no moving on. There's no, and American culture in general has separated itself so far from death and grieving that, you know, we used to host, you know, the bodies in our homes. Families would wash them prior to, you know, that. And we've separated ourselves so much from that process that I think that that's part of why we have trouble grieving anyway. But, right. And so for us to be able to bring that aspect back into our lives, even in a virtual environment, you know, in Animal Crossing, we have a grave in the town that is supposed to be our virtual home, you know, and it's there and you can visit it and you can see it. It's not removed out in another town that you have to drive to and go, oh, I got to go to the, you know, cemetery. Me. I used to have picnics in cemeteries when I lived in Alabama.
I used to take my cousins out snipe hunting.
But anyway, I feel like our video games like this, and this, like, this new grieving process that's sort of reincorporating something that we've lost as a culture back into our daily lives. We may not have a corpse in our house, I mean, but we have, like, that memento mori.
Hmm. Exactly.
Our own reminder of our own mortality as we remember those who have left us.
And it's interesting you do kind of talk about, like, the grieving process and how video games might be kind of one way to deal with that. And I don't think necessarily grieving has to necessarily be just about over the loss of life. You know, everything has really changed because of this pandemic. Some people are grieving the loss of a job. People are grieving, you know, the loss of a routine, the loss of maybe you used to go to a rave every Saturday night, and say what you will about raves, but, you know, that's church for some people.
Thing.
It is a huge social thing. And people are very likely grieving the loss of that as well. So I've kind of always said since the beginning of this, I said, this whole situation is crap. This COVID thing is crap. The pandemic is crap. But the art that's going to come from after this year is going to be amazing. And I think video, you know, and if we subscribe to the thought process that video games are art, which I do, that's just one big part of it. But grieving for some people can be making a podcast, making a Twitch stream or a YouTube, which I've always been a big proponent about trying to get people to do that. But
I started a new project, which I'll plug later.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's all sorts of those types of projects. But it could also be like, I'm taking up a cross-stitch thing I've always wanted to do and I never got around to doing. Or making masks can be a thing for people too. Like, we were, you know, doing that round table a couple weeks ago with the cosplayers talking about that, how, you know, there's no conventions right now, but you can still kind of get your arts and crafts in from doing masks. So
doing Project Nunway for me was, it was kind of like bringing my cosplay back.
Right. Right. And Bobby is saying, I used to go to a bar trivia every other Thursday night with my friends. Since I worked from home before all this, that would sometimes be literally the only time I left the house. Right. So say what you will about Zoom trivia and the replacements, which is great. It's nice that we have those things, but, you know, it's not the same. It's really not.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's you don't get that someone accidentally bump into you. Sorry. Or, you know.
Right.
Meet some random person and strike up a conversation and wind up with a good friend. You just doesn't happen as often when it's virtual. I mean, right. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen as often.
Well, and with me being one of the sisters, our entire aspects of ministry have changed. I think I was a much better adapted to online ministry than some of the older sisters. I am the youngest one in our group. You know, we have some, you know, we used to have a retiree that was our abbess. For a group that's so social that would go out to do bar ministry and have in-person events, I've had to sort of be the reminding factor. Y'all need to wear your masks when we're out in public. I had to distance myself. I'm like, you can do all of this online. Our meetings are online. Everything is. And I think that I'm hoping that that's bringing older generations into a more modern concept, so that maybe these techniques that we are developing, those of us who are Gen X and younger, are able to teach them these same concepts, teach them that there is a new way to express what they're feeling or to live, to be social, that you don't have to sit at a table across from someone drinking with them to still enjoy someone's company.
Exactly.
And for a lot of people who are just really big extroverts, I think this is a powerful lesson in people learning how to be alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been
learn how to enjoy your own company.
I'm a big extrovert. You know, it's no secret. I was hosting shows, you know, this right now. I should have hosted a Rocky Horror last night, you know, like that with 500 people over at the Colonial.
It was great when it all began.
Yeah. But cute. But, you know, that's not happening. And so it's been hard. I'm not going to lie. You know, like, yeah, I am that extrovert that a lot of the introverts are talking about. And it's been tricky in its own way. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Let me ask this, not to be in a negative place, but I would be remiss not to ask, are there ways that video games in this whole situation could be bad for your mental health? What are some things as gamers we should avoid?
Absolutely. Sometimes the escapism or the whatever, if that's what you want to call it, I'm not sure what the exact term is, but you can definitely overdo it to the point where you're neglecting your physical health, you're neglecting your hygiene, you're neglecting your diet. If you have family, you're neglecting your family, you're neglecting your pets. Absolutely trash your sleep cycle. Sleep hygiene is very important for mental function. You know, getting the right amount of sleep during the right times for whatever your sleep cycle happens to be is really critical. I've been known to go ahead and just binge on a game when I'm unsupervised. Even now, I'm 43 years old. If the wife takes the kids out, I will get on and I'll play a game, start in the morning and go until sunrise the next day, you know, and it trashes my mental health. You know, I feel like I'm having a good time. I feel like I'm having fun, but it's a short-term gain, long-term loss for me, you know, because I could have gone outside, taken a walk, which would have been much more beneficial. You know, for me, I have to really moderate how much I play and what I play. Because there are some games that I have associated with very bad periods of my life that I just need to avoid. As good as the games are, I can't play them for my own mental health. I hope that answers it.
No, for sure, for sure. And, you know,
I'm going to see my Mass Effect binges.
I think, because I'm very lucky in that I really enjoy my job and I like what I do. And I do have the ability throughout all this to be able to work from home. And I recognize I'm very lucky in all those aspects. So, but I think that helps keep my sleep schedule on track, because if I didn't have my job to worry about, I think I would probably very easily fall into this pattern of, you know, oh, I can stay up till 3 a.m. doing mining and crafting in Final Fantasy because nobody's going to bother me. It'd be very easy to fall into that. Even before the pandemic, we would hear those stories about, oh, the guy at the cyber cafe in Korea that spent 24 hours straight playing League of Legends that just collapsed, you know. Or, you know, the person that played WoW all weekend long and ended up, you know, having a severe medical issue, because this is how these are the types of things that can lead to issues like strokes and things that if you don't get up and move around, that's very serious. You have to. That's one reason, you know, I like my watch, not to give these guys a free ad. And to be fair,
please give them a free ad.
All the modern fitness watches do it. So I'm going to leave it at that. But they will poke you every hour and go, hey, fatty, get up off your ass.
Yep.
And so when people go, why'd you spend all that money on a watch? I kind of go, you know what? Like, even though it like sounds small, those things are a huge deal later on. And you know, and for our listeners out there, because I'm sure we have several listeners that are like, I don't have a fancy fitness watch and that's not happening for me.
That's a good one.
You don't need one. You can set a timer on your computer or a timer on your Casio old school calculator watch that goes off every 59 minutes that does the same type of thing, you know, that reminds you to get up and move around.
You can get these little cheapo things on Wish for $3 now and they do the same thing.
Exactly. So there's plenty of other solutions besides the fancy fruit stuff and, you know, all that. So,
and you can always say to your phone, hey, phone, set timer 4.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah, very, very important stuff. And I'm looking in chat. And again, I want to be careful what I read tonight because I think people are saying some very vulnerable things. I don't necessarily want to put that out there. But I see some people talking about their sleep schedules are not in a great place right now. One listener is talking about going to bed at 1 a.m. and then waking up at 8 a.m. Now it's 10 p.m. and waking up at 4 a.m., which seems to be a little more... You know, but yeah, I mean, that sleep schedule is crazy. The other thing with my work, and I think this is very important, is that I have found, and I need to be better about this. I need to do something because this was something when I thought it was just going to be a 2-week solution. My workplace and my PC gaming place are the exact same place. And I think that's
bad.
Very bad. It is. No, it's very bad. And that's why, it's interesting because I've also been asked, Why are you buying new consoles when you have a PC? And in my opinion, this is just exacerbating. Like, this is why I need to have a different space to play games sometimes that isn't in front of the PC, which is what I'm doing all day for work. You know, and even when it is going back to the office, sometimes instead of sitting in my ergonomically sound chair, I want to be a potato on the couch and play some No Man's Sky. And just changing up those types of factors is really healthy because, I'm admitting, and you're all agreeing, what I'm doing right now is bad. Like, PC gaming and working in the same place is bad. But unfortunately, it's kind of my only choice right now until we do some major rearranging.
I have two separate computers, though, side by side. I've got my work Macs, and then I have my PC, which is going to be going away soon. But mm-hmm. I have another Mac over there. Mm-hmm. And that's my other workstation for doing my own creative work.
One thing I did when I was in that situation where I had my gaming PC and my work PC side by side is I made sure my gaming PC was off while I was working and I had a specific work chair. When I was done with work, I turned off the work computer, switched chairs. Something, whether it's a physical change of location or some psychological change, really helps to help keep that separated. Because one of the dangers of working from home is to fall into the routine of, oh, well, I have 5 minutes. I could go move the laundry. You really shouldn't. You really should try to keep
guilty.
Those aspects of your life. I know. So am I. But you should really try to keep those aspects separated for your own health.
Now, see, for me, I need those moments because of my chronic fatigue. If I am doing nothing but focusing on my work computer, and I work a 10-hour day with an hour lunch, so I can get 3 days off in a row. But anyway, for me, I need those moments. I actually have a medical reason that I get 3 extra breaks in my shift, and I get up and leave. I used to have a bad habit of staying at my desk and doing like my email or stuff during my lunch. I need those separate moments where I am not in work mode. I am real life mode. And for me being home to do that, instead of going, like, say, to the cafe to get, you know, a snack or a coffee or something, I'm still in the building and still seeing, for lack of a better description, the work propaganda.
Yeah.
Whereas if I leave this room, I get meowed at by my cat and she's a lot nicer.
So. Yeah, no, and what I was saying though is it's more the general rule, not the hard and fast for everybody.
Right.
I have my Switch next to me.
Everybody's
going to
be different. Everybody's going to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like for me, because I mean, I used to work at the same company that Jamie did, and she remembers I was a wanderer on my breaks and lunchtime.
Yes.
I went around and I visited as many people as I could. It's just part of who I am. And I was always trying to help people out, give little tips and advice, and try to pick up some of my own.
But you don't do what Frank does. He puts on that wireless headset and walks down the aisle while he's doing his thing. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
By the way, Rob Drew works with us too.
No, I know.
Yeah. So.
But when I got to move from home to home, I actually have a detached office, which right now my son's living in, but he's moving out on this coming up Friday. and I get to have that back as my sound studio.
Cool.
Hardwired internet to it. What I would do is between calls is I'd have my door open and I'd play fetch with my dog.
I like that. Awesome. I like that idea too of just changing something like your chair. Like if it isn't possible for you to change the entire environment, just change, you know, your chair, change maybe something that is surrounding. Maybe you have a digital picture frame and the pictures show different when you're working versus when you're not. I mean, it sounds silly, but, or maybe the curtain is closed when you're working, but then it's open when you're not, you know, just like those little changes to your environment can be huge.
Even like a little dummy light switch that you drill into your desk.
Well, and I'm sure you guys can see that I have this like roller cart behind me loaded with toys.
Yeah.
It is actually a barrier between, now I have it at an angle so I can still kind of see across, but it's still technically my barrier for where my work situation is. So, and I have completely different toys facing the other direction. So I kind of like can build my own cubicle wall for, and this whole room is going to get redone, so I'm actually going to be picking myself up a green screen and a blue screen so that I can have that as an actual for real physical divider.
Neat. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you guys in chat have any questions for E, please go ahead and let them out in our chat room over at twitch.tv/avognetwork. And again, E is the host of the podcast Am I Mental? That is a very hard name to forget.
Yes. Just kidding. Yes. Hearts.
Well, I bet for a lot of people it might be. I mean, again, we're not a doctor. And if you think you probably should always get assessed by a doctor. But
we're one gestalt doctor.
I bet the answer to am I mental is maybe a little bit, but probably not as bad as you think for a lot of people.
I like to quote the Mad Hatter here. We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad.
My whole thing is that when you start to wrestle with the fact that you might have some kind of mental illness or mental health issue, a question usually does pop up along the lines of, am I crazy? Is it me? Is there something wrong with me? Am I mental? And I figured that was kind of a catchy name and it stuck and it really has a lot of meaning because I ask those questions. And we actually do have an official website, amimental.net. .com was taken by somebody else, so I had to take .net. But, we're actually at this process right now. We're going through our third season. We only do 10-episode seasons. We're trying to match the seasons of the year. So each season is a different actual season. Like, we're in the fall season right now. Then the next one will be the winter season. But we're already booking up for season 4 already, and we are only 3 episodes in on season 3. So it feels really good. Like, just to kind of give you an idea of how it's growing, my first season, unfortunately, I started on March 19th, first day of spring, which it just happened to land that way. I didn't even know it was the first day of spring until like 3 days before the episode. And then I went, let's just follow the seasons. That's kind of how it came through. But it took me 2 months to get it all booked out. And then COVID hit and essential workers wound up working, you know, like 6-12-hour shifts and I had the entire season. It was just rescheduling. Season 2 took a month to get scheduled. Season 3, it was done in under 12 hours.
Well, you get in your system.
I had to make plans to take time off to be on for, was it the 29th? Yeah.
Yes. You have basically the Halloween episode.
Nice. And no one is surprised.
And I was like, and I laughed about it too, because like I did the music for your 666th episode, and then you're coming over for my first Halloween episode. It's just kismet.
Perfect.
Well, you know what, with you having done our music for that episode, funny thing is that I made our podcast theme for this one. For our new podcast theme, I did it myself.
Very cool.
Yeah, with a little help.
Yeah, and I mean, once you get into that part of where you work, it starts coming naturally after a little while. You just kind of start poking around and playing with things.
Well, and you know who it is. Jamal helped me.
Oh, yeah. Jamal's awesome. I love Jamal.
Let me get y'all talking about people that our listeners don't know. So let me get back to this question in chat.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Some good tips and lessons learned from some of our chatters here. Schmegtastic in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I've made the mistake of having my work desk next to my gaming desk and using the same chair. I feel as if I'm associating the work stress with gaming and stressfully gaming sometimes, like being unable to let gaming relax me sometimes. And that's big. That's really talking about, like, you know, the being able to have like the separate spaces so you can separate those things in your mind mentally. Yeah.
One of the coolest little stories I ever heard, and this was I was in seventh grade. It was my English teacher was talking about how this guy every day after work, he'd get home and he would touch one specific branch on the tree as he came to onto his property. And went into the house. And then every day on his way to work, he'd touch that same branch and leave. And he did this for over a year. And his wife finally asked, what are you doing? And he says, when I get home from work, I'm hanging up all of my work stresses on that tree. Mm-hmm. And then when I leave to go back to work, I'm picking them up again and noticing they're a lot lighter than they were when I put them there.
I like that. It's a good story.
I thought that was a cool little story.
I like that. SSGO100 Matt in chat says, I've been making sure to go outside, mostly late at night or early morning when there's fewer folks, to get my outside time because that is also important. Being in a two-room studio for now feels claustrophobic. Thankfully, I'm moving in a week. You know, that importance of getting outside and moving around is so important. And luckily, you know, a lot of that is gamified. You know, obviously Pokemon Go is the huge behemoth that a lot of people talking about for motivation to go outside. But there's other games as well. You know, Loki has talked a lot about Orna, the, you know, kind of RPG-inspired one that is one that you can play out while you walk as well. Minecraft Earth, there's a Jurassic World one, the list goes on and on. Chances are one of those games is something that could incentivize you going outdoors if you need it.
Absolutely. And I mean, what's kind of funny is that I'm seeing a lot of, especially now with the mobile gaming community the way that it is, a little bit of a tangent here, is that the age range is spectacular on the people that you interact with. But nobody's judging on age at all, you know, because we're all just trying to get away, trying to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So
as like, it should be.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm 43 years old and I run a guild in a game called Shop Titans. Basically, it's like instead of being the, you know, you go to the shop in a role playing game to sell all your junk and buy new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're the shopkeeper and the players, the NPCs are the adventurers.
I played.
There's like a shop girl game.
Yeah, I played a game like that on Steam, but it wasn't like an MMO. It was like a Racketeer or something was the name of that game. Somebody in chat.
Racketeer.
Was that it? Somebody in chat will know. Yeah, there was a game like that I was playing on Steam, yeah.
At this one, one of our most active members is a retiree, you know, and in my group on Among Us, they keep calling me OG. Because I've been playing since the Atari 2600, you know, and some of these people are like, I never even heard of that system before. They had to look it up.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yeah, a little bit. That's interesting because Among Us, and you keep coming back to that game, and obviously that is a huge game right now. It's in the top all the time on Twitch and so forth. But I also think of that game. That game is some, I don't know if I want to say mental warfare, but it can be some serious, like, mental gymnastics because you essentially are having to lie to people sometimes. And that's really uncomfortable. So how does that work with the mental health among us?
Well, I know a lot of people in my group, when they're the imposter, they just out themselves right away because they can't do it. They don't want to do it. But they really enjoy the mind play of trying to figure out who the imposter is.
Mm.
I like being the imposter.
I love being the imposter. My favorite is when there's two imposters. If I'm the first one to die, the other imposter never has to worry about sabotage again. So they can keep moving constantly. And no one goes, I saw them stop just before this. Be like, nope, they didn't stop because I'm helping them. But yeah, no, it takes some
teamwork makes the dream work.
Yep. But it takes a mentality to be able to be the imposter and be able to lie. But I mean, for me, I'm not lying to them because I'm trying to get away with actual murder or actual crimes.
Sure.
It's just all fun and games. It's role-playing for me. And I play Dungeons & Dragons, and I've played Star Wars. I play a lot of role-playing games. So it's just role-play for me.
Sure.
It's like the old werewolf game we used to play on DDR forums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the werewolf is a game that is infamous at Dragon Con, you know, and those types of things. So yeah, I mean, it's, to me, Among Us is just an evolution of that mafia slash who's the werewolf type of game. It's just somebody thought how to put that in a digital format in a platforming type of way, and they did an amazing job with it. And it's interesting because it sat for 2 years before it got discovered, which really makes that game really fascinating in how it works. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like that whole Town of Salem, whatever, except that instead of it being, you have your discussion cycle. Okay, now it's the night cycle. Do your thing. You're actually running around physically doing things on the game. And if you're the imposter, you're trying to fake doing these things without getting caught faking. You're trying to find opportunities that you can off someone. And you're trying to set up sabotages and clever ways to help get people separated from the herd. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's... And there's also a lot of the mental play, too, where as the imposter, you don't want the finger pointed at you, obviously, and you want to try to make sure that you get the finger pointed elsewhere if someone starts to suspect you.
Well, and you know what's also interesting, and I think that works with Among Us, is that it also works, I think, because the games are so short. And you can play like 15 games of it a night, because I'll tell you, I am into those types of psychological games like Survivor on TV and like Big Brother and stuff like that. Well, before it got super racist, but the game itself I find very fascinating. But Survivor, I've played versions of Survivor online that are very intense. They go on for a month. And you're sitting at home, but you're still on Skype a lot of the time, or Discord or whatever it is, with, you know, your tribe mates and the people you're working with, like to the point where, you know, I was lucky enough to win one last summer. But like, I remember I had to vote out my closest ally at Final Four, because if he didn't get voted out, he was going to win. And if I want to win, he's got to go. But I cried because I was just so invested. And like, you know, I definitely learned, like, oh my gosh, to play a game like this, I have got to have the mental energy to do it. And I don't know, I haven't played one since. I've been asked to play like 4 or 5 different games. And I also kind of recognize, like, I need a mental reserve battery I don't have right now. And I thought the pandemic was going to give me the time, but I don't think it's given me that mental reserve battery by any means. And that's why I've passed up so many opportunities to play during what I think is a really great time to play.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, I mean, even with my podcast, like, I have a daughter. She's an adult now. She's going to a JC at this moment. She wanted to do a psychology major. She's changed it now. But even she has said, because of the pandemic, she can't listen to most of the episodes of my podcast because she just doesn't have that reserve. Hmm. You know, the pandemic is draining it, you know, because she used to go out. Every Saturday, it was go out to a restaurant, have something to eat with your group of friends, and then go play board games. That's just gone.
Mm, yeah.
You know?
For real.
And that recharged her batteries to allow her to be able to enjoy, you know, my podcast. She's only listened to a couple episodes, and, you know, she feels so bad about it. You know, she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, honey, no. It's fine. I get it. This is not a podcast for everybody in all situations. Some of my closest friends will hear the topic of an episode and they're like, boop, I'm gone. Can't deal with this one.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that's fine. I get that. And I haven't hit an episode yet as a host where I'm going, nope. Mm-mm. But if it happens, it happens. And I'm going to either have to power through it, or I'm going to have to ask the co-host, hey, this one's too personal. Can you take it?
Yeah.
You know, and I get it.
Yeah. And I don't require my friends to listen to this show. I realize it's a lot, and it's not video games. Like the deep discussion we do on some of this stuff is not for everybody, but it is for some people. So for those of you that are here, I appreciate you always being here, whether it's live on Sunday nights or whenever you can fit us in during the week on the podcast feed. It's awesome. E, I have to start to wrap up here because we're almost an hour in, and I got to make sure we get to all the gaming news tonight. It's been fabulous to have you on, though. But I want to ask before we wrap up and let you go, I want to ask, you know, one big question we do at the top of the show is, how was your gaming week? You've mentioned some of the games that you've been playing between your item shop RPG and Among Us. What does a gaming week look like for you? What are some games that you entertain yourself with in these times?
So I'm big on sports games. Like, I love NBA 2K. I don't really like Madden football so much. I'm waiting for the 2K football because now the licensing is open again.
Hold up. Chat, note the date and time. Sports finally made its way to OLR, everyone. Sports, in a mental health segment, no less, sports finally made its way to OLR. No, I think it's great. Please continue.
No, I was very athletic as a kid. I played baseball. I played soccer, pickup games of football, basketball, you name it. I played it. So I do a lot of those kinds of games. And recently I know I'm a little late to the game, pun intended, kind of. But I've been playing a lot of Dead Before Daylight. Oh. I absolutely love that game. Terrifies me, and I love it.
Okay, you need to play with my husband because that is his game that he is obsessed with right now. He's always playing Dead by Daylight, always.
That's yeah, funny. Unfortunately, my phone can't quite handle it, so I had to get it for my PS4.
Nope.
And I'm just waiting for the new Gran Turismo. That's going to be my excuse for the PS5. Okay. I love Gran Turismo.
All right, perfect, perfect. Well, E, before we let you go, please plug away everything that you wanted to plug here, your podcast, your Facebook group, because this is such a huge topic that, you know, 1 hour on the top of the show is not enough to talk about it. But if people want to continue the conversation of mental health, you know, we'll do our best here on OLR to make this, you know, a safe space to share those types of struggles and stories. But if we want to continue those conversations in another dedicated space with other people that really kind of study this stuff, please, E, what are some of the other places we can follow? Follow you.
Yeah, so the main webpage is just amimental.net. We broadcast every Thursday, 6 p.m. live. If you want to be a part of the chat, you do have to go to Sprecher.com, sign up for a free account. They don't spam, they don't sell your information. That's why I chose them. We also have a Facebook group, it's facebook.com/mentallivecast. And then there's also the Just Pause group, which is specifically for gamers that are dealing with mental health issues.
Repost the website in the chat room.
All right. And, of course, Jamie will be on the episode for us on the 29th. So come check it out. This is it. The way that we do it is when I introduce you, I will say, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, what we're going to talk about. At that point, it's your platform. I'm just the a host. And basically, I'm facilitating is all I'm really doing.
I love that name, by the way, Just Pause. I think that's a perfect way to kind of incorporate gaming and a good like mental health lesson, too.
It is. And whoever came up with that, absolutely brilliant. I love that they did that.
Y'all thought I was a ranty bitch here. Wait.
All right. So we're going to move on to the show. E, thank you so much for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. Great discussion. And I think there are going to be some folks that want to continue this discussion with you later on. And at some point, let's have you back, especially, you know, hopefully in the new year, maybe we'll be talking about the other side of this pandemic and we can kind of check in again on some post-pandemic ways to check in and make sure our mental health is still in a good place.
That would be great. And in the meantime, I'm trying to get our forums up so that way we can have our episodes go beyond just being an episode. It can be a discussion that goes on for days, weeks, months, however long it needs.
Perfect.
So that's up and coming on the website.
Look into Discord too, because it's been very good for us.
Yeah, definitely.
We really enjoy Discord.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care, E. Thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah, have fun storming the castle.
All right. We'll see you later.
Will that pill actually work?
I don't know if it does take it. If there's a year taken off my life, I hope it's 2020.
Right. No kidding. I love that meme.
Yeah.
Later.
All right.
Later.
Take care. All right. We're going to get to another segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? So let's get into it and talk a little bit about our gaming weeks. So Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was Animal Crossing. Duh.
I would be
Hades.
Shocked if it wasn't.
I have Hades. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I did play a little bit more Puyo Puyo. It's just with Project Nunway, I haven't really had a super lot of time, but we did get a new pinball. We now have the Jersey Jack Pirates of the Caribbean. We have sold off quite a few pinball to be able to afford it. We have sold Indiana Jones. We have sold... No, we didn't sell Shadow. We sold Star Trek The Next Generation. We had the old Bally Star Trek that we sold, a few others. It's pretty crazy. It's one of those ones that's got the big screen with the full video on it, Rob. This is what the Jersey Jack ones are like the Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
So, it's pretty crazy. I played it in the past at other people's houses, so this is a little bit, you know, of a thing. And I have other gaming-ish things going on, but I won't talk about that yet. I'll wait until gaming week is over, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. You got it.
Yeah. Yes, we kept Doctor Who, Clan Pod Culture.
Loki, you're still here. It's so quiet.
Yes, I am.
Hope you're all right. No, you're fine. You're fine. I know. Sometimes you want to let the guests talk. It's fine.
Exactly. And all I can really contribute to that is, yeah, I'm angry all the time because I have to work and with people that they're people. So this week I didn't play a whole ton of things, but I did play some new stuff. So I tried out the new Mario Kart Home Circuit Live. So
I
got to play that a little bit. So that was cool.
How was that? I was watching Bobby play it on stream. It looked neat.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So not a lot of like space. I was hoping that it would be able to work through multiple rooms, but as you probably saw in his stream, it does not handle that very well. You can only go like not too far away, especially if you have a wall in between you.
Yeah, you have to line of sight the Switch, basically. Which, yes. If you're willing to play in handheld mode, he brought this up on the call, Bobby, when we were talking at the end of his show. If you're willing to take the Switch off the dock and walk behind the car, you can make a bigger course, but that would involve you getting up and moving.
Yeah. So we didn't do that. But I was able to set it up in a few rooms in the house, so we tried it out there, and it's pretty cool. I like that you can go online and print replacements for some of the stuff. So mm-hmm. I printed out more of those barriers. Mm-hmm. So now they're all like shiny and stuff. So that's kind of fun.
How crazy is it, by the way, that when Microsoft was kind of the first to put their paw into AR gaming with the HoloLens, and obviously we never really saw anything fully realized with that. I mean, we had there was a sleuthing game that was pretty good on there, but I mean, obviously it never got to the level where they put out a consumer device for that. And they were talking about like a Minecraft AR game, but we never did get that. Although I kind of think Minecraft Earth is probably bits of what we would have seen in a Minecraft HoloLens game. But isn't it interesting that Microsoft was kind of doing that, and then Nintendo just out of nowhere, who we usually tease for being behind in technology when it comes to online gaming, or their VR is really, you know, kind of half-assed with Labo compared to the competitors, or they're, you know, just they're never the power of the other systems on the market, that Nintendo comes in and really puts out like, hey, here's our idea for an AR game, and it's really good. Like, yeah. I don't know if it has longevity. That's my concern with it. But, I mean, just as a cool shit for my kids to play with that'll entertain them for a while, I think it's a big win for Nintendo.
Well, I'll tell you what's better than where it exceeds with what they did with Labo is you can fold that all the checkpoints down back into a box when you're fair done enough. Playing with them.
Fair enough.
So that already is like, you know, loads ahead of everything else that they've done. Other than that, yeah, it's fun for a while, I think. I'm sure that they'll release more stuff for it, like updates and everything. They could just easily put out like new things for it to scan in that does different stuff. I mean, and that wouldn't be that hard for them to do. Kind of disappointed that you can only do one player per system, which is annoying. I get it, but like split screen should probably be able to be a thing. So that's kind of a little disappointing because my kids want to like kind of play together, but like we don't have two systems.
Well, I mean, think of it as you're paying $100 for the car. You're not paying $100 for the, because the game is free. You can go on eShop right now and download the game. It's just not going to do shit without the car, but you're really paying for the car, not the game. So if you kind of frame it that way, I think maybe the two-player thing might sit a little better. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is like I pre-ordered that like a while ago, and come release day, Walmart didn't ship it. So
oh, yikes.
I just went down to the store, and they had them there. I'm like, and they were $10 cheaper. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense, but okay, we'll do it this way. Kind of has me concerned because that's where my Xbox Series X is too. So we'll see. Hopefully they're a little bit better about that. But So aside from the Mario Kart Live stuff, I did play a bit of Orna. I did try out Pac-Man. Was it Pac-Man Geo? It's not good.
Oh, that's the one where they just made the Google Earth Pac-Man thing a game, right?
Yeah, it is basically that. I mean, there's no frills to it at all, but it's just like you can like pick different parts of the map to actually make a level out of, but you have to zoom way in to get to the streets. And like, I'm in a pretty small neighborhood myself. I couldn't get it to work in my neighborhood because it couldn't create a level out of that. There wasn't enough like small, even smaller streets, which is weird. And then even when you do have that, because I was able to get it like over in Fair Oaks where it's like twisty and doesn't make any sense over there. I was able to get it to play on that, but the controls are awful. It's all touch controls to like moving. You have to swipe in the direction that you want to go. And when you have streets that are kind of, they're not perpendicular to each other and they're kind of all over the place because, I mean, not all streets are perpendicular. It doesn't control well at all. And it just wasn't fun. I played it for about 5 minutes. I tried a few different areas. I tried one because they start you off in like a tutorial on, in New York. So you play there with the Statue of Liberty. So I played that and then I tried some place closer to my house and it just was super boring. And it was already starting to like, hey, you can buy stuff. I'm like, okay, bye-bye.
No thanks.
You know, being that there's no, it's not like an augmented reality game where you can walk places and, you know, collect things and stuff like that, like Pokemon Go, Ingress, Orna, you know, all the other ones out there. It's just kind of pointless. It's basically the Google little thing that they did for April Fool's Day and then just worse. So you can try it out. It's free, but like, I mean, I installed that pretty quick. Oh, and by the way, so you have to create an account. You can link it to social media, so Facebook or Twitter, to track your progress. That's broken right now, so you have to just not link it to anything. And so I think deleting my game on there actually lost all my what little progress I had.
Oh, no.
So it's just not very good.
Okay.
And then aside from that, just been working on game stuff, and yeah, pretty much it.
All right. My gaming week. You know, we had a long intro tonight, so I can keep this short because I haven't really played a lot of new stuff. Still trucking along on Final Fantasy 14. I got my first crafter to 80 today, so I think by this time next week they'll all be to 80. My carpenter is 80 now, so been working on that. But I did get all my gatherers to 80 in Final Fantasy 14, so that's kind of what I've been working on. And then they put out the Bojan front in this. They did a mini patch this week, and they did the Bojan front, which is interesting. They're talking a lot online about the red chocobo fight because there is a group fight that you end up doing that is it's Red Comet is the name of the chocobo, and it is a red chocobo. I gasped when I did the fight because I was not prepared. It's just these AoEs, right? When it draws on the ground, this is the attack that it's going to do. It was nuts. I had not seen anything like it in the game. And I was like, where the F am I supposed to go stand that's safe? I can't. And it's like one tiny little space that you really have to hunt for. So that red chocobo fight was nuts. So I've been checking that out too. And then still playing Hades. I finally made my way to the third boss lair. I don't want to give a spoiler, but there's something different with the third boss. So I got there, but I wasn't able to beat it yet. So I'm going to keep working on it. And that's it. I haven't really played a lot of new stuff. The one kind of new thing I played, I'm going to have a Bobby Blackwolf moment here, and you're going to understand why I said that in a minute. Because the only new thing I played was a demo, and I've completely judged this game based off the demo, and I know, like much like Bobby Blackwolf and Ni No Kuni, this game can kiss my ass based off the demo. And guess what game that is, because this is going to surprise you. This is really going to surprise you. Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memories. Or is it Memory of Melodies? I don't know. Mom. Kingdom Hearts Mom.
I'm surprised.
It sucks.
Interesting.
It sucks. I'm sorry. And there's going to be people that are into it and like it, and they're going to be like, Rob, what's your problem? You're such an asshole. But I just, I'm sorry. It was not like, I was really irritated that they took a formula that really worked, the theatrhythm formula, and they made it this weird platforming thing. And what I really hate is that for whatever reason, like some monsters you have to hit multiple times, just for, you know, because we just didn't want to note them with single monsters, we're doing double monsters instead. Sometimes the monsters will be flying, but these aren't the ones that you jump to hit. You only jump to hit when you see the marker that says jump and then a monster that you hit. Like, it just, I didn't like playing it. It wasn't fun. And the music is okay, but it's not at the same level as Theatrhythm to me and the Final Fantasy series. Maybe it'll be more interesting when they have Let It Go. I don't know. But the songs that they have in there now were not that great to me. So that's it. And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, yep, I knew it. I also wasn't very happy with the demo. I wanted Theatrhythm. let's see. I'm trying to see if there's other comments there. Phoenix7726 says, eh, not going to lie, I'm kind of tired of Kingdom Hearts deviating as much as they do. And Akuma JP, oh, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while, Akuma. Akuma JP in chat says, Rob, let it go. I will. I'm going to let it go straight to the recycle bin, and you can kiss my big butt if you think I'm going to spend $60, $50 on that game. Maybe 10 bucks on a dumpster sale. Later on, like in 2 years' time, because it is a Square Enix game after all. But I'm not going to pay that much more than it. Shad Starzik's in chat right now and says, I liked the demo for Kingdom Hearts. It's just different, and it worked for me. Well, I'm glad it worked for somebody. And you know what? Bobby hated Ni No Kuni, and I ended up really liking that game. So you can take my opinion and throw it away if you want, but that is my opinion and I'm sticking to it. The demo was supposed to impress me and make me think they've made some good changes to Theatrhythm and, oh, maybe I want to see Theatrhythm released like this. No, I don't. No, I don't like it. No, no. The end. All right. Let's move on. We're going to get into some gaming news. Oh, actually, I think we do have a few housekeeping things to get into because, Jamie, you wanted to bring something up, right?
Yes, so I'm working on expanding a few things because our blogging stuff has kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside, you know. And I love writing. Writing is, you know, kind of, you know, my big thing. So I have created a blog. There will be some video content on its way. There will be a related podcast on its way. But it's called GenXGeeks.com. That's G-E-E-X. So GenXGeeks.com. I have a Twitter for it, which is also GenXGeeks. And I'm looking, I mean, basically since it's, you know, Gen X, it's, you know, our generation of stuff, although definitely going into, you know, the other stuff that we're into, because I don't think that interest should be generational, but there certainly is perspective that we have that maybe other people don't. And it's not just, you know, like I got a lot of stuff for video games. I have some nerdy stuff for, you know, movies and anime. And I also have some self-care stuff on there, like IRL stuff, you know, like what are we doing in the world around us? What types of things can we do to help other people? You know, kind of community oriented. And there will, I keep forgetting to add the pinball thing on there too. But so I'd appreciate it if people would check it out and leave me some feedback. It just started. But I think that it'd be a little way to expand, I guess, my voice as a gamer and as a geeky person, you know?
Yeah, let me ask you this, because I already know the answer, but there's going to be other people out there that probably don't. So just to let you kind of state this, how is this different than Vogue?
It is a very different perspective because, you know, Vogue is basically going to be specifically, you know, really, well, it's kind of hard for me to describe it. How did I describe it to you before? Because it's part, I think, part, but expanded.
I think also it's more one person's perspective, whereas the Voice of Geeks Network is really about all of the voices and putting that together. And I think the comparison you and I were talking about was when we had Electric Sisterhood that was a part of the Voice of Geeks Network. Electric Sisterhood was also a site that had all their own types of blog posts and all their own types of news and did their own types of reviews and things that were kind of unique to their perspective. And obviously they've moved on to their new project, Black Compat. Shout out to that because I'm always going to when I bring them up. I think that was kind of like I was saying when you were talking to me about this, I was like, oh, it kind of sounds like, you know, like it when ESH had their own sort of site. And the same thing with Critical Myth, an anime jam session is still around and kind of does their own anime focused content and articles and things on that site. So
And I was also thinking that, I mean, a network isn't necessarily, you know, an audio or visual thing, right?
Right.
You know, and if what I have to say on there resonates with people who maybe, you know, and not to say anything about you guys, I love you guys, but maybe they want to hear somebody who is not a cisgender man and has, you know, a different perspective.
Well,
you know,
I, to be fair, we're really trying to not have that always be the case. You know, we try to mix that up.
I know, but I just threw it out there as an example or say that, you know, someone's looking for a little bit more of a lifestyle thing, like, hey, what is self-care for someone of our generation? What is this? You know, can you teach me how to adult? The answer is no. You know, so I'm really looking on kind of expanding what geekery in the real world is about. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think you have to go check it out and it'll make more sense.
I like when DJ Ron Maez said, VOG is all ages, Gen X geek, real shit. Yeah, this is kind of like how I'm taking it. Like, you know, I've already written a couple of articles about Supernatural Ending. I've done, I've actually got two cosplay articles coming, and they're just really short because, I mean, that's the thing. I want it to be quick and easy and digestible. So I have two articles coming up from some prominent cosplayers, and actually one of them is my friend Annie, who does Saver podcast and Stuff Mom Never Told You. And I also have another one from a really good cosplayer from Arcady Cosplay. I asked for like one question and got a big write-up, so I said, I'll just do this all you then. And I'm looking for, you know, people if they want to, you know, if they have something to say, I'll give them a spot. I'm actually working out something with my friend Hillary, who runs a 28 Shears salon here in the Sacramento area, about, you know, things like hair care and stuff like that. But, you know, because there's this whole big trend now for, you know, hair colors and stuff that you'd see, you know, in video games and anime and stuff. So we'll be talking about stuff like that. And, you know, it's really geek lifestyle, you know, but for those of us who have maybe a little bit more money than, you know, the younger ones, you know, maybe people who have a lot more like real life stuff going on, people maybe who have physical limitations, you know, due to, you know, like I'm 44 and I have arthritis in my hips. So I can't go out and play all the DDR in the universe like I used to. So I would be talking about, well, what are ways that you can protect yourself when you're going out to play a high impact video game? You know, something like that. So that's kind of, you know, kind of my thing for those of us who remembers when MTV played videos, for example.
All right. So everybody check that out. It's GenXGeeks.com, right?
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you all. Yep.
And I will say on the VOG front, we have some exciting stuff coming soon. We just need to I can't say much more than that. Just we got to cross the T's and dot some I's. But some very good conversations were had behind the scenes. And I'm hoping we got more to say in a couple weeks. That's all I can really say for now. So I've probably already said too much. So let's move on. Let's get into some news. So Loki, we're going to start with you tonight with some gaming news.
Yeah, so the PS4 just received the 8.0 update, making some tweaks to the party and messaging functionality. Some of the stuff is also going to be tied into the PlayStation 5 as well. So what they did was they kind of streamlined everything, changing the UI with that. They also have this nice mute all option as well. some new avatars that you can choose from, and simpler parental controls. One of the other things, though, that they did mention with this, though, is basically there's a little warning message that pops up. Says, following this update, users are seeing a notification about party safety and that voice chats in parties may be recorded. Voice chat recording for moderation is a feature that will be available on the PlayStation 5 when it launches and will enable users to record their voice chats on PS5 and submit them for moderation review. I'm assuming not your own voice chats, but like other people obviously on the voice chat, you know, so that you can ban those rude people or whatever. But basically it's just letting you know that if you're playing with somebody on a PlayStation 5, that your voice chat may be recorded as part of their functionality. Of course, people are kind of concerned that Sony listening to my voice chats. No, that's not what they're doing, apparently.
They don't have time to do that stuff. But do you think, okay, let's be honest. There's going to be people that have those series, and they could be right or wrong. Could they be listening for phrases like, you know, and I'm going to use this as an example in case I set something off on Twitch, okay, just for the purpose of discussion. But let's say someone says a phrase like, I'm going to blow up a federal building, you know, or whatever it is, or they're making those sorts of plans. And I don't know why you would use PlayStation to do it, but we've heard about those types of groups congregating in places you wouldn't necessarily think of because they're less monitored. So could Sony's system listen for those types of phrases?
I mean, I guess it's within the realm of possibility since everything listens to you nowadays. But my thing, though, is, and I think someone has brought the idea up, is let's say that you do get, I'm assuming, not that say that, let's just assume that the only, that the submission by users isn't the only way that they're monitoring everything. Let's just say that VR listening for key phrases like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's the case, that's done by an algorithm, and we know that algorithms are not necessarily the most accurate or best thing to do. But obviously, with the kind of volume that they're going to have, that's the only way they can do it. But it's not 100% accurate, and we have seen in the case of like YouTube and Twitch and stuff that there could be false bans from some of that stuff, and with not a lot of moderation, that could get out of hand pretty quick. My understanding, though, is I think if you do get banned with that kind of based on something like that, that you'd actually lose access to your PlayStation library that you have as well, because you'd be locked out from your account. I'm not sure if that's necessarily 100% accurate. That's just the concerns I've heard, but I think maybe taking a little bit too far. I am glad that they at least have an option to submit a chat if there is. And I don't even know if they'd necessarily be a party chat per se, because I doubt you'd be having people in your own party that are being ridiculous, that you're being absolutely rude. I would think it's more of just regular in-game audio where you have somebody that, you know, is being toxic.
One of those little a-holes that's saying, you know, F-word, F-word, N-word, N-word.
Right. And so I would assume that, you know, as part of that, you could report them and then it would be recorded. But to be able to do that, though, it would have to be recording your audio at all times. So,
well, you know, here's the other thing, too. And it's interesting because in chat, they're saying, what was the comment here? Tridean in chat says, Rob shouldn't have said that. I went out of my way to make sure I was saying it's for the purposes of news and discussion only. And listen, Fifth Dream in chat says,
and that's exactly what I'll tell the Secret Service when they arrive at my door tomorrow.
Fifth Dream in chat says, they're already reviewing the policies after reading feedback from users. Well, I mean, to be fair, to look at both sides of this, so I give you that side, but then the other side I'm going to give you is, isn't the PlayStation 4 already recording things? It's recording your gameplay for 15 minutes. It's taking screenshots whenever it wants, because when something crashes on your PlayStation 4, and I know this because it happened in No Man's Sky not that long ago, like just less than 2 weeks ago, I was playing No Man's Sky and I had a random crash and it said, do you want to attach a video and all this of your gameplay? So your PS4 is already watching you.
No, of course it is, because they have the share functionality, and that's why when you push the button to record a short video, it's of footage that you've already been playing. So it is recording a short bit of your gameplay already,
mm-hmm.
But it's just it's not really doing anything with it. I don't really necessarily have a huge problem with it.
I kind of think it's already happening.
Exactly. You have to be completely naive if you don't believe that everything's not being monitored. I mean, you're using a service. Obviously, it's going to have their caveats. And it's, you know, just privacy concerns aside, you know, if it'll make the online environment better, like we're going to see less toxic people because of it, then that's cool. What I want to know, because I haven't used PlayStation 4, well, I haven't played my PlayStation 4 in a long time. I'm curious if the PlayStation 4 chat functionality is like as easy it was like on the Xbox 360 is kind of what I remember, where you can actually kind of do a chat. People could be playing different games, you know, and that type of thing. And it's easy to invite people in and that type of stuff. I don't know if that's ever been that easy on PlayStation 4.
I don't know.
But hopefully this is better.
ActDev says, yeah, you can. SSGO100 Matt, and it has a really good comment here that I want to read, says, the main thing is Sony and others have to do something to fix online harassment. If it has to be done this way, I totally get it. One of my issues with it is that Sony is handling it, who has a history of data security. Kind of wish a different firm was handling it, so maybe bringing in a third party to take care of that or something. ActDef points out with that scenario you were bringing up, Loki, we do that for our Overwatch sessions since some of our players play stuff like Fall Guys and Genshin Impact. So, all right. Well, I know my firmware update already came through for the PlayStation 4, so there's that. Was there anything else we want to talk about here with the PlayStation updates?
So I did want to mention that they're also revamping the PlayStation Store. I believe this is mainly referring to their web and mobile store. So they are removing PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, and PlayStation Portable games and add-ons, along with apps, themes, and avatars for those platforms as well. So apparently the web and mobile versions of the store should be done removing those by October 28th. And then apparently if you need access to those after the fact, you're going to have to access those through those devices, so like the PlayStation 3 or whatnot. I kind of wish it wasn't going that way, because that kind of, I mean, you know, with the whole backwards compatibility stuff, I guess they're just not going to support that stuff anymore. I don't know.
I wonder how long until they just pull the plug altogether on the PSP store. And then the PS3.
I can understand a lot of that stuff. It's pretty old, but yeah, it is unfortunate.
Fifth Dream in chat says RIP PSP. Yeah, I have a feeling that's coming sooner than you might think, that they're just going to pull the store altogether on that and decide not to run that anymore, because it's probably just not worth it to them. They're probably not selling a lot. Although I would think the PSP secondhand market is still pretty big. I mean, do those machines have a good lifespan? I don't know. Like,
not with the batteries, man. All those batteries, I think we talked about like a week or
yeah,
so ago.
The
all
expanding,
the batteries are just I had to throw mine away. Actually, it's funny. I had like four PSP. I had my PSP 1.0 and then I had 2.0. And then my coworker gave me two of his PSPs as well, because they were kind of defective or whatever. Just the disk drives on them didn't work, but you could still use them for like other games. But all of the batteries I had are all just complete trash now. I'm like, it's not worth it. I don't care anymore. I still have my somewhere. I was looking for it earlier this week, but I still have my. My PlayStation TV. So, I mean, I could play all that stuff on there. I'm just have to find it. I found my Steam Link, but not my PlayStation TV.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about, it's funny because I was talking about Ni No Kuni and kind of name checking Bobby Blackwolf earlier in the show. So maybe he's celebrating over this news. I don't know, but I think this is kind of sad actually. And that is that level 5 is pretty much done in North America. It sounds like level 5 International America, which was of course the company that brought us Ni No Kuni as well as Yo-Kai Watch here in the North America. They're pretty much done. And this is is according to a report from GameIndustry.biz. Talking to multiple sources familiar with the matter, they're saying that Level 5 International America and Level 5 Abbey began winding down in mid-2019, which included laying off the staff, so that they were let go. Apparently the COO, Yukari Hayakawa, who is the COO of Level 5 Abbey, departed the company in early 2020, even though her LinkedIn has apparently not been updated yet. But I know a lot of people who have out-of-date LinkedIn, so what's a CEO of a COO of a company? Apparently this is just saying that basically this could be the end of Level 5 releases in North America. Now, I want to point out Level 5 is still around in Japan. This is, again, Level 5 closing down their business in North America, which could be a sign that things like Yo-Kai Watch and Ni No Kuni were not maybe catching on as much as it was hoped they would. And I know, especially in the case of Yo-Kai Watch, like, they really pushed that stuff hard. And I didn't think that game was bad by any means. But I was kind of surprised at how much they were pushing, you know, the anime, the toys, and the game really hadn't proved itself yet. And I'm not sure it ever did, at least here in America. Now, I know in Japan it was craziness, but even the craziness of that franchise in Japan has died down a lot from what I understand. So I just don't think it was able to sustain itself in America anymore. Any releases in North America apparently not happening, because Level 5 had said Yo-Kai Watch 4 was going to happen back in July 2019. But nothing has been said since then. There was also supposed to be a version over here of Inazuma 11, The Hero's Great Road, but again, nothing here. The last release from Level 5 in North America, Snack World, the Dungeon Crawl Gold, which I never heard of, but I know Level 5 did a lot of random dungeon crawlers. Like, didn't they do an Adventure Time-related one at some point? I think they did, so I don't know. Let's see. And Bobby Blackwolf would like to point out, I never celebrate closures, so fair enough. But you didn't help. No, I'm being a brat. Akuma JP says, oh, eek, they blow up on Yo-Kai Watch. Yo-Kai Watch is not selling anymore here. So, yeah, so I thought I had heard that it really kind of fizzled in Japan. It used to be a huge, huge thing, and it kind of, oof. SG100 Matt says, this is surprising. ActDev says, isn't Level 5 behind the Layton series too? Ooh, I think you are right. But we haven't seen one of those games in a while too, and perhaps the end of the 3DS. Yes, they could make those for Switch, but maybe they're just not going to for whatever reason. Yeah, this kind of came out of left field for me too. I thought Level 5 had some good stuff. Usually when I saw their name on a title, I would kind of give it a second look because I enjoyed their stuff. You know, despite the banter we have going on, I enjoyed Ni No Kuni, although I didn't ever pick up the sequel, so maybe I'm part to blame for that. I tried Yo-Kai Watch. I didn't get into it as much, but I never really beat a Pokemon game until finally Pokemon Shield finally broke that for me, where I actually played that start to finish and the end game. So I don't know. So anyhow, too bad to hear about that. You know, again, I, and like Bobby said on a serious note, closures are nothing to celebrate about. This is sad news. And, you know, especially for those of us that like to see a lot of the, you know, games in Japan released here as well. It's some sad news. That's for sure. So is Dark Sakura back by chance? I don't know if she's just off cam.
I am.
OK, hi.
Hi, sorry. No, I was eating a food.
Oh,
a food.
You're fine. I just wasn't sure if I needed to buy time or not, but we can go to your story if you're ready.
No, my story is actually going to be probably the first one of this company's products that I am going to buy.
Oh, please tell us more.
So there is, I'm sure we're all familiar with Analog. Analog is responsible for giving us their own Super Famicom and Super Genesis, Mega Drive, you know, Sega Genesis, etc. Versions of it. You know, they've had 1080p output and all of this beautiful stuff. They are now, as I'm sure no one is surprised by this, going to be doing a Turbo Duo. For the TurboGrafx-16/PC engine with the, you know, built-in Duo add-on. It will come in a white one like the Japanese or a black one like the US. And it's going to be $200, which is actually pretty low priced for one of Analog's, systems. The other good thing about this one is that it is going to be able to play both regions of hue cards. It does not use software emulation and instead uses field programmable gate array chip. So it's basically simulating the game system by hardware. It will be arcade card ready. It will run all TurboGrafx 16 PC Engine Super Graphics, which of course there were like, what, 8 games that were released. PC Engine CD-ROM 2 are Super Arcade CD-ROM games. So like I said, arcade card games. And basically, it's also going to have a wireless controller, but it does have the NEC port on it to allow you to use original Duo controllers and multi-taps. So it also, like I said, it's going to support other Bluetooth and USB controllers. It uses HDMI, so it will allow you, it will output to 1080p. And given what I've seen from the other outputs on other systems, it's going to be pretty awesome. It was always nice and clear.
Didn't they do that Game Boy that came out not that long ago that was all over the internet? Yeah, okay.
And, of course, it's going to have an add-on for that thing for the Analog Pocket. Mm. It's going to have an adapter that lets you play the other Hue cards, the TurboGrafx 16, SuperGrafx, and PC Engine Hue cards. And I mean, that'll be pretty nice. I mean, I have a Turbo Express and it's kind of difficult to play on. I'll be perfectly honest. Just don't play your shooter games on it. So I think it's really nice and it's about time. And I'll be honest, you know, I've been pricing a Duo RX so that I, wouldn't, you know, I basically have arcade card games that I can't play. Like I have, Fatal Fury Special, I have Strider, and I can't play any of them. So this right here, I was going to be paying about $250 for my Duo RX, you know, for one in really good shape, box and, you know, everything. The Hue card converter that I want is almost always sold out and runs about $100 by itself. I have a Core Graphics, but I can't, you know, again, play Duo games on it. You know, that I would need the Core Graphics and the Duo and then the arcade card. And I can't use those cards on my US Duo because the pin set was different. So this right here is going to eliminate a couple of other products that I would have been spending money on. I mean, I was seriously looking to spend like roughly $300, $350 to get a Duo RX and get myself the US Hue card converter. So we just had the one system. So this right here is, I think, going to be a fantastic deal. I can plug it in on my HD, you know, my nice fantabulous 4K TV, mm-hmm. and not have any input lag, which is one of the biggest problems with playing retro systems on modern televisions.
Right.
So,
now, could the limited availability of this be an issue? Because Bobby is speaking up on this a lot in chat, saying this was cool until they said limited quantities, which means nobody will actually be able to get one. I really question their business practices if they can't actually meet the demand at the price they quote. This sounds great for the botters that will buy and flip it on eBay. Just like the last Analog product, I learned to never hype for them. Well, I mean, it works for Nintendo. All TL shit.
I might be reaching out to a potential contact.
Mm-hmm.
To bring up, I'm hoping, cause I want to do like a full review of it. So I'm going to be trying to do some reaching out and seeing who I can talk to and,
well,
you know,
to be fair, yay for you if that works out. But the point still stands that, yeah. You know, it's way too limited. And why is it so damn limited if the demand is a bit higher, you know,
but
and
you
I think
there's going to be another release.
Let's hope, yeah. But I guess maybe the track record hasn't really spoke kindly for that, because that would be really unfortunate if it just becomes a thing that scalpers on eBay kind of get. It would be nice to see the company maybe do some sort of, you can sign up to pre-order one or something like that, you know, kind of trying to figure out that system because of the popularity and the fact that, you know, these products have been all around the newsosphere when it comes to video games. They've been all over social media and everybody is saying these look really cool. It's a compliment to the company and everything, but surely the company's got to kind of realize that it puts a certain demand out there. And if they can't meet that demand, it could backfire if that,
mm-hmm. That's a good sense. Point. But, yeah. But I, you know, I want to see if maybe we can reach out and see if maybe we can talk to the people there and see if they're going to be doing anything to combat that, you know, yeah. the big scalper resale. Because, I mean, it's certainly a possibility. And I know that it'd be a big problem. I mean, in the end, they make their money, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
But
it's up to us to not buy from scalpers, but we all know, like, we can sit here and say that till we're blue in the face, but there's going to be somebody that sits on top of their mansion in, you know, Beverly Hills that has the screaming child, mommy, 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 I saw this on the internet, I want one, buy it. And so they just go on eBay and get it, you know, and it's
okay,
like,
Veruca.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the problem, is that we can sit here and say, we're not going to support it. Ah, it's trash. But the Verucas of the world are going to, and the enabling parents are going to ruin it.
Yeah.
So it stinks.
We'll see.
But I do think, to be fair, I think this is a problem bigger than just this company. This is a problem we're seeing all over the place, you know, in this industry. And Fifth Dream says, cough, PS5, cough. You know, we had all the issues with the pre-orders there as well and so on. So I kind of get it. So, All right. Let's move on, though, for now. Just for time's sake, I can't spend too much time on one topic because we had such a great kickoff topic that went on for a while. But let's move on to our next topic because this is... I mean, this is huge. This in a normal week could have been a whole 3-hour show to itself, right?
Well,
Loki, I think this is huge.
So this right here by itself is not much. So basically what the deal is GameStop and Microsoft had entered into a multi-year strategic partnership that's going to basically outfit their stores with Surface tablets, and it's also going to revamp their whole POS system as well. Allowing them to use like Microsoft 365 and Teams and stuff like that. Also with that, though, they're also doing some sort of, and it's not really in great detail yet, but they're doing some sort of partnership where it'll allow them to sell digital products that are on the Microsoft store and actually get a cut, or I'm sorry, no, what's going to happen is I hear that they're going to be getting a cut of any of the digital sales from consoles that they sell.
Yep.
So for example, if they sell some Xbox Series X, those consoles that they sell, any users that buy those and make purchases, they get like a percentage of that, which is interesting. Here's what I think is happening from what I was hearing. So if they think about it though, like, you know, they're giving them all this access to these things. How far away do you think we are from Microsoft buying out GameStop? Because they're struggling money wise right now. They're really struggling to stay afloat, and so I'm wondering if we're not far enough or not that far away from an acquisition.
Well, and you know the other interesting thing that I haven't seen in any of the stories talking about this: what just happened like 4 months ago? Microsoft stores started scaling back significantly.
Yeah.
So this True. Has been in the works for a little bit. Why would they, you know, I think that was the first step, because we kind of at the time were like, well, this seems kind of, I mean, I guess it must be related to the pandemic and that's sad and all this stuff. But now it's kind of like, oh, shit, they scaled back the Microsoft stores because they knew they were going to be getting into the GameStops basically everywhere with this whole thing. Now, again, you know, it's not like you're suddenly it's going to be Microsoft exclusive at those places. That's not the case. You can still buy a PlayStation 5. You can still buy a Switch. But it is definitely going to put a little pressure on the folks that work there, the management, which will trickle down to the workers, that, hey, if we make continued money off of Microsoft's sales on an Xbox Series S, now we know why GameStop would fucking bother to carry them. Because now they're going to be getting a revenue based off of the digital sales. And on the PlayStation 5 discless ones, there is no reason for GameStop to have any of those. They probably will have one or two per store, but there's really no reason for them to carry them.
Or I mean, you know, I would think that there might be an acquisition, being that they've been closing stores left and right and they've been in trouble for a while and the pandemic hasn't really helped them out. But at the very least, maybe it's just Microsoft recognizing this company needs some infrastructure upgrades, and they're just doing a partnership with them in that sense. And on top of that, they're also going to try to push their consoles. And I don't know if they're necessarily going to buy them out. I mean, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this, but I know that financially, I don't think they're doing very well with the pandemic and everything.
I find this comment from Questbuster really fascinating because I really agree with it, saying GameStop stock is up 120%+ for the year, but not because of this news. Some analysts don't think that this is that huge since the winner is mainly Microsoft, seemingly taking advantage of a weak GameStop to push people into their ecosystem. Hell yeah, they are. And it's a brilliant move by it's straight up genius by Microsoft. I'm sorry. Like that's what it is, because now when it comes to the holidays and the lost parents that are like, what do I get my kid? My kid's been talking about Xbox and PlayStation. I don't know the difference. Although, again, I think the parents of today grew up on the same stuff. I mean, we're old enough to be the parents now. Loki is a parent. Many of you out there listening are. So I'm not sure this is always going to be the case. But I think still in some parts of the country, in some areas, you're going to have people that walk into the GameStop going, I know my kid wants this, but I don't know what I need to get. Like, the default answer is going to be pushing towards Microsoft products now. And that is a brilliant move on Microsoft's part,
My opinion. Yeah, so they'll have two different fronts, because I think also when you, like, there's a definite value proposition to be made with, you know, the Xbox platforms. I'm just curious to see what Sony's going to answer back with as far as, like, what they're offering. I just don't think PlayStation Now is going to be enough to cut it. And I'm sorry, like, cool that you're giving away a few games with PlayStation Plus, but that's not the same as the entire library that's in Games Pass. I mean, it's just not the same.
Well, you know, and I don't want to base the reality based off of what I see on social media, but it doesn't seem like Sony's exactly struggling. Like, it seems like plenty of people are still pre-ordering a PlayStation 5, and there's plenty of games on there that people want to play. And I think that is Sony's biggest strength still, is that they do have very strong first-party titles still, and they're going to have that, you know, for some time. But, you know, as I've been saying until I'm blue in the face on the show for a long time now, don't count off Microsoft this time around. And Akuma JP in chat is saying, I wonder if Japan will be able to play Bethesda games now. Akuma, the reality is, and I realize you're going to laugh at this, and but Microsoft still thinks they can succeed in Japan. But they're playing the long game. It's not something that's necessarily going to happen tomorrow. And part of succeeding in Japan is really starting to turn the heads here in the States. And then I think they're going to hope that that carries out. But the quickest way to do it, and you know we've been saying this forever, is still shocked that Microsoft didn't just fucking outright buy Sega or Konami or somebody that feels a little bit vulnerable in the Japanese market. And I kind of think that's the big grand finale. That's the big cymbal clash that ends 2020, is that Microsoft's going to buy a Japanese company, I think. But we'll see.
Yeah. Still time.
DJ Rama S in chat says Microsoft will not succeed in Japan because they don't have any Japanese game studios under their belt yet. They don't have any under their belt yet. And I laugh in my face if you want, but let's revisit this in a year and see what happens.
We shall see.
We shall see. All right, for now, though, let's move on and talk about some upgrades for the Xbox 360. That's right, the older system, the Xbox 360. Cloud saves are now going to be free, so you can actually just get your saves in the cloud for free. This was something that you had to have Xbox Gold for before. Oh, look at that. Another Xbox Gold feature just getting absorbed into something else. Anyway, it's going to be free now on the Xbox 360 because they want people to have their savings in the clouds to feel a little more like they can get an Xbox Series S or a Series X, because, you know, some people just skipped the Xbox One outright. In fact, a lot of people did that may have owned the 360, but maybe now the Series S or X is going to look at bringing them back. So how can they transfer their maybe they have a file in Oblivion that they've spent 200 hours on, so they want to be able to move that over to the Xbox Series X, because we know that Series X and S are going to be backwards backwards compatible pretty richly. If it's something you can play on the Xbox One today, you'll be able to play it on the Xbox Series X. Now, if it has enhancements or not, we'll get into that a little later. But it will be nice that, you know, and it's not all the systems do this, so it will be nice that, hey, even if you are skipping a generation, so you're on Xbox 360 now, you skip the one and you go, your games are still going to be backwards compatible mostly. There are some 360 games that don't work, as we all know, but the big ones, they figured out. And the ones that you probably have a 200-hour save file on probably figure that one out, how to make it backwards compatible. So that's kind of neat. But I also think it's kind of funny that they figured out a way to just completely absorb yet another Xbox Live Gold feature into something else. So anyway, now let's talk a little bit more about those backwards compatibility games, because it came out this week that there's going to be 31 Series X or S optimized games on day one. So obviously, because Halo isn't making the release day, a lot of the strength that Microsoft's trying to push for their launch day windows is upgrades of older games. So let me read you some of the highlights. I'm not going to read them all. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Borderlands 3, Dead by Daylight, Dirt 5, The Falconeer, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Gears Tactics, Grounded, Manifold Garden, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Planet Coaster, Sea of Thieves, Tetris Effect Connected, The Tourist, Watch Dogs Legion, Yakuza Like a Dragon, and so on. Again, that's just a selection of the 31 games there that are going to be available on day one. So this is kind of Microsoft's strategy, is not just the new stuff, like Valhalla is a new game, so not just that, but then also, like, here are the older games. And even I kind of went, oh shit, I can't wait to play Forza Horizon 4 on the Xbox Series X. That's going to be awesome. And now hearing that they've bumped it up a little bit, you know, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I imagine that's going to be some higher res texture and probably nice. It's going to be a real smooth frame rate, I'm sure. So that game's going to be pretty badass, I think. So excited for that. So we'll see. We're getting to less than a month away now, if you can believe it, before the new consoles. Both Xbox Series X and S and the new PlayStation 5s are out pretty much in the same week. And it's what, the 10th and the 12th, right? Did I get those dates right? The 10th is the Xbox and the 12th and the PlayStation?
I know the 10th is the Xbox. I can't remember the PlayStation.
I think it's the 12th. So they're right on top of each other practically, and we're less than a month away. So, pretty exciting times, that's for sure. All right, how about Dark Sakura? What's next?
Well, I made no secret, one of my favorite games ever is Fantasy Zone, and there is a game being released that is an homage to Fantasy Zone called Endless Zone. It actually has come out a couple of days ago. It's on PC via Steam, and it's part of Sega's 60th anniversary, and it's only going to be available until the 19th, until tomorrow. So basically, it is, you know, pretty much just like Fantasy Zone, but you play, instead of as the Opa Opa, you have Opbot, who was a field surgeon and organ recovery specialist. And then one day he was on the run and he has to flee and exist. So go check it out. Cause
I noticed it didn't look very cartoony either. It had a very different kind of gritty look to it. It was like Fantasy Zone rated R kind of look to it.
But it's still, you know, I mean, part of what I liked about Fantasy Zone was the cutesiness and the happy music, yeah, and it's fucking hard as balls. Yeah. But it's an homage.
Remember how the Super Mario Brothers movie was supposed to be kind of gritty and industrial? That's what I kind of got looking at Endless Zone. Well, I didn't know about the terrible part. I didn't play Endless Zone. I'm sure it's fine.
It reminds me of like those, like, what was it? Like the Xbox 360 arcade games that they were making, like of the classic arcade games, and they're kind of redone. Or like, if we want to talk a little bit more,
Crystal Quest was like gritty when they redid it.
If we want to talk a little bit more like recent, you know, kind of similar to the stuff that we see now on the Amico, where like these classic games are kind of getting that, you know, higher res. I don't know. They still look like Xbox arcade games, you know, where it's like they don't know what to do with the sprites, so they just kind of make them a little bit more realistic, and they come off looking like not really a flash game, but just, I don't know, different. But yeah, this looks kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm excited.
That was the week we missed, was that whole Intellivision stuff that came out. That was the week that I was out. I don't know. Like, I see, the thing is, though, we say all that, but I also kind of go, I liked a lot of those early Xbox arcade games. I actually played them a lot. You know, they kind of throw me back to a period of the Atari 2600 when, you know, I just, that repetition and that samey type of game was a lot of fun to play. It was something very zen about it. So, like, I kind of look at the stuff for the Intellivision. I'm like, looks like it could be interesting. So.
Could be.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about Loki, what you have for us next. I'm sorry, you just picked up Stella, too, and she's looking all adorable on your shoulder.
She's getting ready to start screaming at me again.
Aww.
So, as we know, with games getting bigger and bigger, you know, especially with Call of Duty, there's been a lot of different stories about how Call of Duty is too large. Like, their updates are like 150 gigabytes. It's just ridiculous. So now they're saying that there's going to be some sort of updates done to the PC version that's actually going to let you uninstall portions of the game. So apparently you can uninstall 100 gigabytes of stuff. The game right now, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, on PC, it takes up 232 gigabytes of space. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But apparently, though, as I know, one of the things that people have been requesting, especially for like even the console versions, were you know, talking about with these new consoles coming out, even though they have large hard drives, I mean, like, that's like a 20% of your hard drive right there. It's ridiculous. So they're going to split it up so you can actually uninstall like the campaign, multiplayer, spec ops, that type of stuff. So campaign's 35 gigabytes, multiplayer's 42, spec ops is going to be 38. So you can pretty much like pick your installation size based on what you want in there, which they have to do when the game is that large. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And especially, you know, we're getting into the new era of gaming with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and so on. And the drives really didn't get that much bigger. Like, you know, I know the Xbox is shipping with a 1 terabyte drive. Well, big fucking deal. That's what my Xbox One has in it now. So, right. And considering looking at 4K games. So, I mean, when you talk about a game that's eaten up 250 gigs of that, that's too much.
Right. And well, at the very least, like with these drives, you can uninstall stuff, and also there's the external stuff that you can get for it as well.
Yeah.
The 2 terabyte drives that they sell aren't overpriced, which is good. It is pretty much on par with what you'd pay for that type of storage.
But they're still expensive.
Yes. Yes.
But you're right. They're on par, but they're not cheap.
Right. So it's just, unfortunately, it's going to be, you know, I would hope that with this, because I know some of these games are a little bit blown up in size because of these slow read write speeds of these storage devices that they have, that they're not able to, they have to kind of have redundant information in order to be able to read it quickly. And maybe with these drive speeds speeding up to the point where accessing data from any location on the drive is going to be super quick, that they can cut down on the redundancies and maybe even compress even more and have, you know, the dedicated processors to uncompress that as quickly as possible. Maybe with that and the advancements with the storage and everything, you'll cut it down. But then you're going to also get higher fidelity graphics, which will then offset it back to where we're at now. So I don't know. I hope that they do end up taking options like this when it is unavoidable that the game is going to be this large, that at least chunk it up so that if, for example, I'm not interested in playing Special Ops, I don't have to install that 38 gigabyte portion of the file.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about some unfortunate news for Blizzard is that they recently, I think in the week we were off, or time is blending together now, but they, within the past couple weeks, recently closed their office in France. So there was an office in Versailles. Did I say that right?
Versailles.
Thank you. Versailles. Blizzard recently had to shut their office in Versailles down, and that means that was hundreds of jobs that were lost in the middle of a pandemic nonetheless. So in come some unions to try to you know, stop this, I guess. Some different unions, CGT, Specus UNSA, and CFE-CGC. Remember, we're talking about France, so some of those acronyms are actually French. They're actually saying that Blizzard denied they had plans to close the office, and they say that, no, Blizzard's in fact planning this for a long time, and they lied about it. This comes as a shock for employees who were not expecting this announcement. In 15 years, many of us left their homes from across Europe and beyond to join the company. People truly invested their whole lives into Blizzard's success. So with this loss, 285 jobs are going to be lost with this. Apparently, Blizzard had tried to cut 133 jobs in France when they cut the jobs in America, because Blizzard laid off hundreds in America this last, I think it was in 2019. Some of y'all might have forgot. But the court stopped them. So, and then they weren't able to do it in March either. So maybe because they were stopped to do it, I don't know. Maybe they just said, you know what? Then we're just going to close the office altogether. Don't know. But unions are demanding Blizzard stop the closure, develop the Europe office, and invest in prevention of psychosocial risks. So not a lot of good news on that front. But it is interesting that they tried to do some layoffs and were stopped. And so now they're just like, well, fuck it. We'll close the whole office. That part's kind of interesting. But, you know, it doesn't seem like Blizzard is exactly struggling either. They're getting ready to release a big World of Warcraft expansion. I know that pre-patch went out and it's a pretty big deal. It's probably the biggest changes the game has seen since the Cataclysm expansion. You know, but I guess maybe they don't have a new game out yet, like nothing on the level of Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, to really rake things in. But I would think during a pandemic, this is a time when a lot of game companies are flourishing, depending on how they're playing their cards. So, So we'll see if the unions are able to make anything of this, but I don't know. I have a feeling Blizzard might have, because of what happened previously, might have just said, you know what, it's more cost effective for us to just shut down the whole office. But still, my heart goes out to those folks that are affected, and it's never easy to hear about that, especially for that many people. So, all right. Well, let's move back to a simpler time, shall we? We're going to take a step down memory lane and talk a little bit about some classic games. So every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should check this game out. It's the classic game of the week. So Dark Sakura, what did you find for us this week?
I found some Dew.
Oh, really?
Mr. Dew.
Yet
again. It was actually Dan's suggestion, so thank him for that.
But again, a game that I cannot believe we have never featured, because I remember playing the shit out of this game at the local yogurt shop.
Did you play the Dew out of it?
Yes, I did. They had a cocktail cabinet of this, and I used to play it a lot.
I used to play this on the Coleco all the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Actually something that we brought up, that there had been the ColecoVision version, which I've got too. So, yeah, Mr. Dew. It is a maze arcade game. It was developed and published by Universal in 1982. It is the first of the Mr. Dew series. And it was also one of the first arcade games to have been released as a conversion kit by Taito. And it went on to sell 30,000 units in the U.S. The object, well, as Dan actually was saying earlier, it's Dig Dug on crack. The object is to score as many points by digging tunnels through the ground and collecting cherries. Mr. Dew, now in the Japanese version, he was originally a snowman. In the U.S., he is a clown, which is probably why I am not the biggest fan of Mr. Dew, because I think clowns are scary as crap. But anyway, he is chased by these red monsters called creeps, and you lose a life if Mr. Dew gets caught. So the game is over when you've lost your last life. Easy peasy. The cherries are all over the level in groups of eight. You get 500 points if you collect 8 cherries in a row without stopping. The level is complete when you've either collected all the cherries, destroyed all the creeps, spell extra, or you find a diamond. He can defeat the creeps by bouncing a powerball on them, but he is defenseless while the ball is in play. You know, kind of like when Diggy Duggy puts out his, you know, puffy blow thingy. That sounded bad. Anyway, he can also push an apple off the edge of a vertical tunnel to crush a creep, kind of like in Dig Dug, how you do the, you know, the rock. And then the creeps can transform into powerful multicolored monsters that can travel through the ground. And if it digs through a cherry, then it leaves fewer cherries and therefore fewer points for Mr. Dew to collect. And if it digs under an apple, it will commit suicide. Or it can drop that apple on Mr. Dew, and Mr. Dew is apparently allergic to apples and will die. If you pass a score threshold, typically 5,000 points, a letter for extra will appear on the screen as an alpha monster. You have to defeat the monster, and then you can gather your letter. And if you collect all 5 letters, then you get a cutscene that plays the theme to Astro Boy, and you get an extra life. They will eat any apples that they encounter, so it makes them very difficult to crush. The creeps will spawn at the center of the screen, and after they have all appeared, then their generator will turn into a food item so you can get bonus points and freeze the creeps and call out the alpha monster and do other stuff. And sometimes dropping an apple will get you a diamond. So if you collect it within 15 seconds, it lets you skip past the level and you get 8,000 points. So you also will then get a free game. It was developed by Ueda Kazutoshi. I don't really know too much about him. So there were a bunch of ports, of course. There was the Atari 2600, Atari 8-bit computer family, ColecoVision, as we mentioned before, Apple II, MSX, Neo Geo, Tomy Tutor, and the Commodore 64. There also was a handheld LCD version that was also released by Tomy in 1983. Now, with the Coleco version, there were some changes made to it. So if you play that one and then go and play the arcade version, you're going to notice a little bit difference. The alpha monsters and sidekicks are unable to eat apples, so they are easier to crush. The blue monsters will eat your shrubbery and cherries. Also, if an alpha monster is over a letter that has already been acquired, then the dinosaur monsters will just freeze. In Japan, the June 15th, 1983 issue of Game Machine, Mr. Dew was listed as the 21st most successful table arcade unit of the year. Famicom Tsushin awarded the Super Famicom version of this 25 out of 40. And lots of folks for EGM thought it was really great. As far as those other versions, I don't know if I mentioned, but yeah, there was the Super Famicom SNES version. There were other sequels. There was Mr. Dew's Castle in 1983, Mr. Dew's Wild Ride, and Dew Run Run in 1984. There's expanded 99 level version of Mr. Dew that was released in arcades by Electrocoin in 1989. There is a new version called Neo Mr. Dew, developed by Visco, and it was licensed by Universal for SNK Neo Geo in 1997. I believe I have played that one.
Was Neo Mr. Dew also edgy like those old Xbox arcade games?
Nah, it's colorful and bright and pretty. Mr. Dew was adapted to the Game Boy and Super Famicom, also had different gameplay features. There's a rebranded adaption of the game that came for Game Boy Color. It was called Quest Fantasy Challenge Holy Magic Century in Europe, developed by Imagineer, published by Sunsoft, and for North America and Virgin Interactive in Europe. And it's in the Quest series of games instead of Mr. Dew. The arcade version was on Wii Virtual Console in Japan on April 27th, 2010. So there you go, Mr. Dew. Also a game that had the same name in the US and Japan.
How was the sequel not called Number Two, Mr. Duty?
Because some people are grown-ups, Rob.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, a port is a port, of course, unless that port is all borked, of course. We call it Mr. Do.
Womp.
Womp. I remember the Commodore 64 version of this because, of course, I do. And it was a lot of fun. It played a lot like the arcade. It's really it's harder than Dig Dug, in my opinion. Like, I'm not bad at Dig Dug. Like, I can get like more than 10 boards in Dig Dug. Mr. Do, I don't know if I can do that in this game. It's pretty challenging. Check out that awesome cutscene they have though right here, where the extra life is awarded and the little. I guess that's a creep, a dinosaur. I don't even recognize what that monster is. Waves the red or the white flag.
I was like, why is he trying to attack the dinosaurs from Bubble Bobble?
I don't know.
But it is Dig Dug on crack. So,
did you ever notice as you're collecting the cherries, it plays this little sequence? If you, I don't think the guy in the demo we're watching here is doing it fast enough. But if you collect the 8 cherries, it goes do 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 do, like it does a do re mi all the way. And then if you get it all the way to the end, you actually get like a bonus. I always thought that kind of interest, yeah, that little musical cue was really cute and interesting. And something that, again, I know a lot of people really equate this to Dig Dug because it is a digging game, but they're very different. They are very, very different in the way they play.
Yeah, but there's enough similarity that the comparison makes sense.
Ah, I like that fifth dream. Do, re, mi, Mr. Do. Forget it. What if we
No, it makes sense.
What if we were calling it wrong the whole time and it was Mr. Do?
It's Mr. Do. It's right. When you read the kana for it, it's Do. So
I guess I believe you. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Mr. Do, which I guess was given to us by proxy via Dan. But
thanks,
I like this
husband.
Game a lot too. Well,
I
and
you,
but at least you've
soda.
Like, you've played this before though, at least, Jamie, right?
A couple of times at least on multiple various So yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some rapid-fire news. That was a good choice. Again, it was one of those games I'm like, how are we 800-plus episodes in and we've never done Mr. Do? Because I know I played a shit. I'm surprised in one of the weeks you weren't here, I didn't pick it, but I guess I just never thought of it. There you go.
Probably thought it was already chosen before.
I probably did. All right. That's the joy of doing
this. Well,
when
I did a search for Mr. Do on the page for the classic game, I didn't find it. And I don't remember having done it.
I searched for Do, and there was like 800 results. So I was like, okay, I can't do that. I searched for Mr., and there was one result. You picked a Mr. something else way back when, but it wasn't Mr. Do. It was something else. Some other Mr. game.
Mr. Driller?
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. No, I don't even think it was that. Now I have to go look. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on, though. We got some rapid fire news coming your way. So, Loki, start us off, please.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting. So,
thank you. Sorry, Mr. Important update, Mr. Mosquito was the game. Thank you, no one special.
Yeah,
now I remember. Yeah.
Sega has decided to release a prototype version of a canceled Golden Axe game. For their Sega 60th anniversary, calling it Golden Axe, a canceled prototype. Apparently, it was a game that was being developed by Sega Studios Australia back in 2013. And it's a 2.5D remake of the classic series. It's kind of being met with mixed reception because the game itself, while it was canceled, apparently while it was in development, was under a lot of crunch, and so it's bringing up bad memories from that. But it is interesting to be able to check out something that it was in development at one time. If you want to check it out for free, you can find it on Steam, and it actually got released today for a limited time, so go check it out while you can.
Neat. I wish they maybe were a little more respectful in how they went about doing it, but I think it's cool that like companies are willing to put out these, you know, demos and products that didn't really see the light of day. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then of course I've been looking forward to a Minecraft movie, but unfortunately that's not going to be coming out anytime soon. Release has been pushed back for the foreseeable future. So originally it's supposed to be coming out in 2022. However, the latest release from Warner Brothers, their production schedule, does not now list it on their production schedule as a movie that will be coming out in the near future here. Of course, you know, they have other movies that are coming out as well. A fourth Matrix movie, the new Suicide Squad, the Batman, Dune, Black Adam. So there's a lot on their plate. And unfortunately, Minecraft is not part of that as of right now.
Why not? Maybe. God, you'd think there's a pandemic going on or something.
You would think it would be a good idea, but I don't know. Hopefully it's still popular in a few years.
Movies are a little harder to make right now, I guess.
Well, especially when they're too.
Oh, well, that'd be a little less, I would think, but I don't know.
God, I hope it's not live action. That would be terrible. No, yeah, I think it's an anime movie.
Actually, having followed a couple of behind the scenes just for a current TV production, they have some crazy rules that they have to follow to maintain safety on set and quarantine. So
yeah,
that would make sense for any kind of movie filming, especially anything that's studio based. You know what I mean? Instead of location.
And I don't think I talked about an OLR, but I did an indie movie. Actually, it's like a film festival. It's gonna be online, but I did a thing. So I had to do a movie set. Basically, it was a small indie type of thing, but still. So that was during all this. That was just about a month ago that I did that. So because I think that's coming out next week.
And honestly, it could be that I don't know. Like, just because it's not listed now doesn't mean maybe they just don't know where it's gonna go yet. The furthest date out that they have right now is Shazam Fury of the Gods, which is moving from November 4th, 2022 to June 2nd, 2023. So, I mean, it still could be somewhere. They just don't have a date for it yet. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's still a long ways out anyways, even if it wasn't being delayed.
All right. Well, moving on to talk about Xbox Game Pass and some pretty interesting additions coming to that. LucasArts, which is part of that, I guess. But LucasArts Remastered Classics are coming to Xbox Game Pass. So sadly, not the actual classics. That would have been rad on PC Game Pass. But we get the remasters, which are cool in their own right. So we're getting Full Throttle, Grim Fandango, and Day of the Tentacle. So you can play these remasters on Xbox, PC, or Android with cloud syncing and all that cool stuff. So these games, of course, all originally came out in the 1990s, but then they were redone later on when Double Fine Entertainment bought the rights to those titles and went on to remaster them. Microsoft, of course, bought Double Fine. Remember that? So this is those rewards coming back now. So, there you go. These games are going to be hitting Game Pass on October 29th. I'll be checking them out for sure, because I think I played the Day of the Tentacle, but that was the only one I checked out. So I want to check out the other ones for sure. And in a bit of developer shuffle around changing news, Crackdown 2, the developers behind that game, Ruffian Games, is now operating as Rockstar Dundee, because they are joining all the other Rockstar studios. I don't know what they're working on, but you can imagine that Crackdown 2 was, some would say, the last decent Crackdown game. Oh, so, right, Loki?
It was. Unfortunately, that is a true statement.
Yeah. So who knows what they're doing? This studio, though, they had ported and remastered the old Halo games. So maybe they're making sure that Grand Theft Auto 5 is running on new consoles, or maybe Red Dead Redemption. Who knows? Or maybe they are going to be working on something new.
Maybe they're working on the Agent game that we've been promised for decades now.
Oh, God, right? And who knows, maybe they're working on something new that's kind of inspired by Crackdown series a little bit. Like, they could kind of do something a little different. So who knows?
Finally get the sequel to Rockstar's Table Tennis. It's coming.
Hey, that game was awesome. All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have?
I have a mute button apparently. but also, a little bit more news about, Rock Band 4. It's going to be completely compatible with PS5 and Xbox Series X. It is, basically, they're wanting to keep it up to date so that they can keep playing it with the newer ones. And then, of course, there is, all of those licenses that people are dealing with, though, from having their earlier versions. And they're saying that, of course, all of their controllers that came out, apparently all of it is supposed to work on the new stuff as well. And then they are working on cleaner transfer for the DLC information. so that it's supposed to be a lot easier than it was. And then the license for Rock Band's 3 songs going into Rock Band 4 expires on December 1st. So you have one last chance to get that, but you need the Rock Band 3 disc. And then, sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry. In other news, and you might not be surprised to find out that I've purchased this. Bib Ribbon on vinyl. Soundtrack being put out by Minimum Records in the UK, Black Screen Records also in the UK. And then Ship to Shore, which is the US one, $24. Definitely not bad. But yeah, it's the music game produced by Nana Unsha, all the cute little Vibri singing stuff. So yeah, it's cool.
Oh yeah, I was gonna text Shane about this because he collects vinyls. He likes the vinyl soundtracks, and I forgot. Is he still
this
out there listening? Listening?
This one's going in a frame and going on my wall. And I'll tell you what, I will just I'll send Shane a little note
there
right
you
now.
Go. Thank you. Say I forgot. All right. let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some things that are coming a little sooner to your house than limited edition vinyl soundtracks, potentially. Loki, starting in the U.S.
Yes, so we have Amnesia Rebirth on PC and PlayStation 4.
Oh, no. Rogue. Is it like Amnesia the Scary Game?
Mm-hmm. Of course. It's
Wait,
October.
By the way, what scary game is playing behind you tonight? I was trying to get to the interview in the top of the show, so
it is my all-time favorite scary game, also VR game, which is Until Dawn: Rush of Blood.
Ah.
I love that game. Seriously, I hope Sony makes a sequel.
I didn't talk about it during my gaming week, but when I was on my trip, I was visiting Shane, who lives in Idaho. And I was watching them, the housemates, play the Five Nights game in VR. What's it called? Five Nights Revisited
Help
or
wanted.
Something? I don't know. Help Wanted. And Shane really wanted me to play, and I was like, nope. But I got a kick out of watching it. But it was it's too scary. I'm sorry, it's too much for me. Too scary. Way too.
Yeah,
much.
I love. I mean, it. It's a little scary, I guess, but it's more fun. It's just like an arcade shooter, and plus it's got that kind of it's just a really cool game, which unfortunately I don't think we'll ever get a sequel, but like it's like a definitive VR game that you gotta get on the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
And it's like dirt cheap, so but it's like absolutely worth it. Anyways.
Sorry.
We have Rogue coming out on PC, Bless Unleashed on PlayStation 4. Disc Room on PC and Nintendo Switch. If Found on Nintendo Switch. The Red Lantern on PC and Nintendo Switch. Torchlight 3 on Nintendo Switch. Transformers Battlegrounds on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And that is it for this week. And then let's just look at next week. I'm like, really? That's a thing that's coming out?
What? So, what?
They have a Cobra Kai game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Moving over to Japan, checking out some releases over there. On the Switch this week, some price reductions for Team Sonic Racing and Valkyria Chronicles 4. Again, that's not new releases, just price reductions and kind of repackaging, greatest hits type of thing. But we do have a new game called Never Song in Pinstripe comes out this week. And there's Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer. Now, that game already came out, but I think this is a physical release, and that's hitting Japan on the 23rd of October. Checking out the PlayStation 4, that same Never Song in Pinstripe game is coming out there as well. The same price reductions for the Sega games I just mentioned. And that's it. It's kind of a slower week this week. Not a ton of new stuff outside of what I just mentioned. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
On the 20th, we have Control Ultimate Edition, Construction Simulator 2 and 3 Switch Bundle on the 21st. 22nd, Asterix Nobelix XXL Remastered. We have Hunting Simulator 2, Monstrum on the 23rd, Supermarket Shriek, Mortal Shell.
That thing is awesome.
Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer on Switch, Do Not Feed the Monkeys, Transformers Battlegrounds, Budget Cuts, and that's it for the next week.
All right.
Yeah, Supermarket Shriek, for those who may not remember, is that game where you're barreling through a supermarket with a shopping cart and a goat that's shrieking as you go through the supermarket.
It's on Game Pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I did want to mention Supermarket Sweep got relaunched, I guess, today.
That was tonight. It's up against our show, so stop reminding the viewers they have something else to go watch. But yes, that did start tonight. You know what I finally watched, too, while I was on my little trip? Number one, I finally finished all four seasons of The Good Place, finally, which was well worth it. It was such a good show. I highly recommend it. And then I also finally saw the Pressure Luck revival. I hadn't seen it this whole time. I just, you know, I'm always playing games or whatever. So I finally sat down and watched that because I watched an episode. Some guy almost won the whole thing, like won $1 million or something.
Is there another one?
Yeah, they relaunched Pressure Luck last year, I think. And it's, what's her name? Effie Trinket in Hunger Games. She hosts it. Elizabeth Banks.
There was another one that did it before, right?
Oh, yeah. Like in the 2000 era, the Whammy. Yeah. No, that was terrible. This one, the nice thing about this one, this brings back, like, it does what a lot of the ABC shows do, and it brings back the same set. And the Whammies are the little cartoon animations from the 80s, but they made them new things. But they're still that same style. So they kept everything that works. And obviously they had to change the host because Peter Tamarkin, you know, died. They changed the host. But Elizabeth Banks, she works. She did a good job. So
cool. Okay.
Yeah. Rita Repulsa also was her big role. So, that was good. I saw that. And the Supermarket Sweep is Leslie Jones, which love her. I can't see how that's bad. Card Sharks. Joel McHale was on tonight, too.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So they've been reviving a lot of the old game shows. It's pretty interesting. And then I also saw The Weakest Link came back on NBC, but it's not Anne Robinson. And she was so good. They have what's her name? The chick from Glee. Jane Lynch is the host now.
She's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. Like I like her, but it's her I think Anne Robinson really worked on The Weakest Link because she was a bit of an unknown, especially here in America. But Jane Lynch, there's something about her demeanor where it feels like she's playing a character. And she's good. She plays a good character. But it just kind of feels like she's playing that mean teacher on Glee as a game show host. And so it's kind of weird. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion on game shows. Huh. All right, let's move on. More topics. Logie.
All right. So not surprising because it hasn't been doing too well, but apparently the next gen versions of Marvel's Avengers have been delayed because apparently Crystal Dynamics is working on issues with the game. You may not know, they were down to 1,000 players concurrent recently on the PC version of that game.
Oh, wow.
So it hasn't really been delivering the promise that they were making of the game. So because of that, of course, they are now going back to retool some of that stuff. They said they want to deliver an next-gen experience showcasing all that this game is meant to be. And apparently, along with that, they're going to be throwing in some bonuses for players that already have the game as well.
Fifth Dream in our chat says, yeah, it's a buggy mess and not fun. That's too bad. Because Crystal Dynamics really knocked it out of the park with the Tomb Raider games. So I don't know, was this just rush? Like they just didn't have enough time to really put the polish on it that needed?
I think it's just because they're trying to shoehorn it into a live service game. Whereas it looks like this would play more as a single-player story-driven game, which is kind of what they're used to, is a lot of those single-player story-driven games. But now they're making them... it's Anthem all over again. I mean, look, you've got a studio that's been has experience in making a certain type of game, and now you're forcing them to make a game that's a live-service game because money, and... How did that turn out? It didn't turn out well for Anthem, and it didn't turn out well for this. So it's just.
I think I saw Anthem like $7 on the shelf at Target the other day, and I was like, it's still too much.
It hopefully will. Yeah. It'll hopefully get better with time, but like sometimes they just give up. So.
Yeah, it depends
like,
how.
With Anthem.
Yeah. you can rescue a game. We've seen many cases now. There's been several where a game has completely turned around and fixed what was a problem launch. Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14, No Man's Sky. You know, there's more that you could probably add to this list. You know, so the Avengers isn't like completely fucked. Like it can still turn around. But you're right. The developer and the publisher have to kind of commit to turning it around. And, you know, what we saw like Hello Games doing with No Man's Sky, that shit is unprecedented. Like the amount of shit that that game got and the amount that the developers have stuck to it to really turn it around. And I mean, really turn it around is really unprecedented. So, I mean, they could do it. It's just will Crystal and Square and all that be able to have the resources to do it. The good news is Square Enix, Final Fantasy 14, probably the biggest example of a turnaround, and not just a turnaround, but a turnaround that resulted in profit, big profit. That game is making Square a lot of money. So that's the good news. We're not talking about EA now with Anthem. We're talking about Square Enix. And they've turned around a game before, so it's possible. So not all this news necessarily has to be bad.
Well, I understand that, but like an MMO and a live service game like this are kind of a little bit different in the sense that I think with an MMO, you have a lot more content to consume, whereas this game, it's kind of grinding the same missions over and over and over again for experience. Not only that, though, with an MMO, I mean, you have your monthly fee that you're paying to this. They don't have that kind of laid out here. So instead they have all these different like passes that you can purchase to upgrade each individual character is a separate pass. It's just, it's monetized the hell. And so it's greedy. They see it working with like Fortnite and stuff like that, but they have to realize that that's a free to play game. Like it's different. You can't charge people up front $60 fee and then like, oh, but by the way, we want more of your money, a ton more of your money. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know when they're going to learn that this is not a smart way to go.
Akuma JP in chat says, Akuma JP in chat says, Final Fantasy is Square's bread, but Avengers is not. No, true. And, you know, Final Fantasy really stuck to, we are going to charge a monthly fee for this MMO. Excuse me. Sorry, hiccups. And they're one of two companies still in the business that are still in the business of that. Them and Blizzard with WoW are the only ones that are still charging a monthly fee to play their game. Everybody else went free to play. And there was a lot of pressure for Final Fantasy XIV, I think, to go free to play. And, well, actually, they have a really robust free to play experience now. Essentially, Square's take on it has been the first two expansions, so the base, Realm Reborn and Heavensward, are now just free. You can just go play those if you want. If you want to play the newer stuff like Stormblood and Shadowbringers, then you have to start paying. But they're offering a lot for free now. It's pretty interesting. So,
yeah.
Questbuster says, Loki hit on another thing that irked me. Every tune had to be leveled up separately. At least in Ultimate Alliance, I could expect my tunes to somewhat keep with me regardless of whether I had them in my party or not. But no, let's not respect the player's time. She-Hulk 10 says they should just make a great Hulk game. Now, why would She-Hulk want a great Hulk game? But no, I think the Hulk is
a
lot
of secret
fun,
to everybody.
Yes.
Maybe they'll make a She-Hulk game when the series comes out.
Hey, there you go. That would be...
That's right. Disney doesn't make games anymore. So,
you need to aim higher. Aim higher. Go for the She-Hulk game. All right. Okay, and the follow-up comment, or She-Hulk game. All right, I'll take it. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the PlayStation 5 interface, because Sony actually showed off the PlayStation 5 interface this week, so we got to see a little more about it. I'm going to be honest, it was like a 20-minute video, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't know if you guys did, Loki or what have you.
No.
But basically, okay, it has some similarities to what we've seen before, although, of course, now it runs in 4K. But you also have quick access to things like help. You also have the game milestones and how close you are to certain achievements and trophies or whatever are embedded within the game. You can see the progress on the various levels and quests, but you can also see guides and hints if you have a PlayStation Plus membership. So you can kind of get an idea, oh, where is this or how do I do this? That's kind of interesting how they're embedding that in there instead of and really cutting into the YouTube market for that kind of stuff.
Except, I was going to say, except you do realize you have a console console with YouTube and probably a web browser in there, and everybody has a phone and the internet.
What don't you all have phones? No, but still, yes, the console has YouTube, but you have to go out of what you're playing to go look at YouTube. Well, but you're right, the phones are the way a lot of people
phone. Do. Like, I don't understand, like, it's going to be much, whatever, you know what?
Because, sure,
do whatever, okay. Whatever you want to say to, like.
The answer's simple. Why would Sony want you to go out to YouTube to watch a video when that you could watch their video, which someday will have an ad just like YouTube?
No, it's because it's not even that at all. It's because they just want to bring some more value to their PlayStation Plus service that is severely lacking value, is what they're trying to do.
All right.
But it's fine. No one's going to use it. Like, no one uses probably the whatever they call it, where they, you know, posting screenshots and stuff internally within PlayStation. I don't think I ever look at that stuff, but it's there.
Now, some things that are also worth pointing out, and I think these are really cool, you can now do voice dictation for chat. So if you don't, so you don't have to sit there trying to type a message. You can just say it into the controller's microphone, and it will hopefully dictate the message about as well as your smartphone does. So that's, you know.
It'll dictate it incorrectly, which will then get picked up by the other algorithm that says that you're a terrorist, and then... And you've lost access to all your content. So
you can also send messages with spoiler warnings. So if you're going to send an image that's late in the game, you can have it with a spoiler warning so that way it doesn't ruin it for somebody. That's a good thought and a good way of planning that out. There's always an explore section that has kind of a mix of things from PlayStation games, the community. I kind of thought PlayStation 4 kind of already has that, but it's kind of clunky. And I don't know if that's just because the age of the PlayStation 4 system or whatever, but it's getting a little clunky. And the PlayStation 5 is definitely moving a little bit faster. So that's kind of interesting. So it's not really a complete reinvention of the wheel, but, you know, and I noticed in chat, ActDev says, the thing that caught my eye the most is how fast the interface runs. And I think it is that nice kind of like quick access stuff, you know, especially moving to the solid state drive. That's a big chunk of what Microsoft has going for it, too. So I think that'll be well received. All right, let's move on. Just a few more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to the listener roundtable. I know we at least have a couple emails tonight, so let's get through these last few stories. Dark Sakura.
Well, the writer of Silent Hill Shattered Memories is pitching a sequel. Sam Barlow, who was the one behind that in 2009, really wants to do something else with Silent Hill. Right now, it's just pitched as Project A. And I'm sorry, it's not Project A, which is something he's developing with Half Mermaid Studios. It's something completely different. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be picked up, but he's really pushing for it, and it could have some traction. So we'll see. I didn't remember that as being the greatest in the line of Silent Hill games, but anything that gets us more Silent Hill makes me pretty happy, so we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Like don't fuck it survive.
Up. I just want some Silent Hill.
I know. Yeah. It's time for that series to come back already, right?
Right.
It will never be as good as you want it to be.
Pixelpockas also points out Sam Barlow is the one that worked on Her Story and Telling Lies. And Telling Lies was that game I talked about a few weeks ago that Her I thought was really cool. Good. What's that?
Yeah. Her Story was pretty okay, too.
Did you play Telling Lies?
No.
Oh, you should. It's cool. Like it's like Her Story. It's the whole you're looking through video to find things. It's great. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on, Loki.
So this is to be expected, but apparently Nintendo has gone after a TikTok user by the name of Poke Princess. Who has 1.9 million followers. Now you may be asking, well, why would they do that? Well, a few reasons. Number one, she calls herself Poke Princess. Poke, of course, referring to Pokemon. She sells merchandise featuring Mew and Pokeballs, which don't believe that she has the express permission to do. And also, being that she is representing herself with Poke in her name, probably her OnlyFans page is not something that they would like to have associated with their Nintendo brand. So they have filed a suit against her and gotten her to change her name now to Digital Princess.
Maybe instead. She just likes fish. Poke is delicious.
Yeah, but she's got like merchandise that has Mew on it. I mean, it's like, I'm joking. Really?
Yeah. And that is the real problem. You know, I think there's a narrative out there about Nintendo doesn't appreciate that she does adult content and all this stuff. I don't think that is the issue. The issue is the merchandise at the end of the day. That's what they have a problem with.
It's probably the merchandise got garnered the attention and then the rest was just not, you know, they can't, even if she was like family friendly, wholesome and stuff like that, you can't sell merch with
her. They still have to control their branding themselves.
Yeah, that's... And obviously the adult element of it does. And I don't want to slut shame, sex industry worker shame, any of that stuff on here. Like, you know, there's lots of people out there, especially in these pandemic times, that are looking to things like OnlyFans to kind of, you know, carry it. And it's fine. Yeah. You know, you got to make a living where you can make a living, and the world's, you know, in a profession that works for a lot of people.
I think
Nintendo doesn't want to even remember they shut down PictoChat because it was possible to send a dick pic to somebody. They shut it down for everybody. Like, they don't even want to have it inferred that Pokemon is mixed with adult entertainment. They don't even want to take that risk. But the merchandise at the end of the day is the biggest problem.
Yeah, and she's basically saying, you know, Nintendo doesn't want people to think I'm in any way, shape, or form affiliate with them or that I have a partnership with them. It all comes down to me being an adult entertainer. It says Nintendo's a family-friendly company, so they don't want to ruin their reputation or anything if people think that me and them are affiliated. Obviously, it really sucks from a business standpoint. I have to understand it and accept it because I fucked up. So I still love Nintendo and will forever support them.
Well, that's a nice thing to make sure the lawyers get off her back. But it's nice.
It is nice, yeah.
So, all right. Well, best of luck to DigiPrincess. And you know what? You can rebrand yourself and still be successful. And especially with the number of followers she has, I feel like she's gonna be okay. She just needs to come up with some new merch, but it'll be all right. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on. One more story tonight that has to do with StarCraft II. Or lack thereof. I don't mean to be dumping on Blizzard tonight. Sorry, I just had two articles about them. But Blizzard is pretty much done with StarCraft II. This is, of course, right on the heels of the game's 10th anniversary. Blizzard has announced they are going to be moving away from making new content for StarCraft II and focusing on what's next without saying StarCraft III. But, I mean... Hello.
We're not saying StarCraft 3, but StarCraft 3.
Anyway, no more for purchase in-game content, no more expansions for StarCraft 2. They will still do season roles. They'll do balance fixes for the fans and the competitive players. And, you know, they're saying esports is still going strong. I mean, well, shit, the original StarCraft esports is still going strong. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that's going to go away. But that's it. And if you missed it, StarCraft 2 did get a big update for the 10th anniversary. So it did go out with a bang. So in July, there were new achievements, prestige talents, and gameplay improvements, with that. So, it's not that, you know, the game's been supported a lot longer than most games get supported. So there is that. SSG100 Matt in chat says, or more likely StarCraft, the mobile spinoff game. You shut your mouth and you don't speak that into existence. Where every gamer has a voice except you with that comment. Just kidding. All right. Speaking of which, let's get into the listener roundtable. If you have some questions for us in chat or something you wanted to hear us talk about, please get it out there in chat. Let's talk about it. But I know we have some emails tonight. You guys like to email us every week, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read your emails live here on air. Now, Dark Sakura, I know you're
There's only two that are official.
There's two. There was one spam email, and you have to know what I'm talking about. The one that talks about rankings. Can you read that without saying the name of the company?
It won't load.
Oh, damn it. Wait, I'll have it. Hold on.
Okay, you can do it then.
I'm going to read it because I thought it was interesting. You guys will know what I mean when I get to it. Hold on. Start with the I'll save it for last. Get to the first couple emails and we'll see what happens.
Hello, OLR. Longtime lurker here. Have listened to the podcast religiously since 2005, but I'm a bit shy to join the live shows, preferring to enjoy the show bit by bit throughout my work week. Don't judge me, please. Nah, not judging you.
No, totally not judging you, but at the same time, we don't bite. Like, so, you know. Here's the thing. Let me try to meet you halfway. Just come on Sunday night and lurk in the chat, because I'm telling you, we're too busy multitasking. I have no idea who's watching. I can see right now live on Twitch there's 34 watching and maybe 10 active in chat. So I know there's people that just have this on and are doing other things, and that's A-okay. Like, I'm not that, and that's the only time and as far as I'm going to go to call out lurkers, because I know I like to watch certain Twitch channels and I just sit there and don't say anything. I just have it on in the background. Because it's kind of like my background thing going on right now. So I do want to just say, don't be scared if you want to come live Sunday night. But at the same time, totally don't. I mean, that's why we do a podcast, so that you can listen throughout the week. So if that's how you want to do it, that is totally fine.
Okay, so, T1, I just wanted to bring all of the listeners' attention to a wonderful hidden gem I just discovered on the Nintendo eShop called Hunt Down. The only way I can describe it as a Final Fight, Neon Samurai, and Narc had a baby, and it was raised by Quentin Tarantino in a dingy arcade. It's hilarious and raucously fun. Trust me, the trailer alone will sell you on it. There's a link to it, but I think everyone can find it. This got me thinking, when was the last time you discovered a game that you had never heard of and enjoyed so much that you can't believe it never gained mass popularity? Hunt Down definitely fits the bill to me, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this topic. Back to lurking for me. Thank you all for all you do and the voices you bring to the community. I appreciate you. Signed, Tonic Vision.
I appreciate that email very much. Thank you.
You remember, well, me talking about Patterned. I really like Patterned.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that other game that I used to play that was like hex-based puzzles. And gosh, why can't I think of it for anymore? Because I really loved it. But lately it's Patterned for me. I really like Patterned.
I think in the modern type of games, you know, I'm kind of stealing something that maybe Loki would say, but Orna, just because, you know, considering it's like a old school RPG mixed with Pokemon Go, the real world elements of that, kind of surprised more people aren't talking about that game. But I also like being able to control as many territories as I do. So maybe I'm okay with that being a little more underground. I go back like way back to classics, actually, when I first kind of read that question, my brain went to like probably the biggest oversight of all time. And Darksoccer, I know you're going to agree with me on this. The Guardian Legend. That was a game that like deserves way more recognition and support than I think it got, especially at the time. I think it's one of those things now that there's definitely a cult audience for it and word's gotten out, I think, with time. But I think that would be one. And then maybe I'm just in a retro mood or something, but I also think of a game like Crystalis. I don't think was super huge at the time, but it was so, so good for like a Zelda-ish type of game on the NES. That was a game I remember enjoying the shit out of when I was a kid. Not a lot of people were super into that. So, some comments coming in from our chat room, including, Shane is back saying, Roundabout is that game. That's the one with the limo that just spins over and over. And the cutscenes are so bad, but like, I know, and Flacco loved that game too. They both would talk about how much they love Roundabout, and I'm like, or as I call it, Roundaboot. And I don't think it's that funny, but okay, whatever.
It's okay, but it ends up getting old pretty fast.
Okay. Folks in chat, some are saying Roundabout is amazing. Some are saying Roundabout the game, not the song from Yes. All right. Anyway, great question and great email. Thanks so much for that.
And then our other one comes, well, you'll be able to tell the moment that I start the email. So hello, LR. I'm all caught up on past episodes. Thanks for taking a week off. That helped. So I'm now able to actually comment on something mentioned during the last episode. regarding Sony's decision to universally make X the confirm button and O the cancel button across all regions, including Japan, at least one of you pointed out the accessibility feature that allows you to remap buttons however you want. Unfortunately, this is not a good solution because this changes literally all functions of the button, not just functions pertaining to menu selections. For example, if a game uses X as a jump button, as other games often do, the jump button would now be on O. And while many games have their own button config functions, you'll also be dealing with many games having their own you'll also be dealing with incorrect on-screen prompts and the headache of having to remap buttons in literally every game you play. The correct way of handling this would be to give users the option of which button they want to confirm or cancel. Heck, this option could be rolled out worldwide. I suppose time will tell, but I really don't see why this shouldn't be a thing. Thanks as usual for this show, and have a great week. Aaron, YYR.
Great solution to the problem, and I really have nothing else to add. Thank you for the email. It's great. Yeah, it should be just baked into the OS. But you're right. You brought up a good point. It's going to change other things that those buttons use, too, that maybe is unintended. So, yeah, good way of framing that. All right. Now, before I get, Bobby really wants to hear this email. So I'm going to do chat questions first. All right. Just a couple quick ones from chat. SG100 Matt says, today is the 35th anniversary of the NES coming out in North America. Do you remember the day you got the NES and what were the first few games you got aside from Super Mario Brothers? Yes, I do.
I did not have Super Mario Brothers as my first few games. I think we talked about this last week. So, yeah. So, my three games I got, because we got it secondhand. So, I had Breakthrough, Bubble Bobble, and The Legend of Zelda.
Nice. My NES came from Sears. And it was because I did such a good job getting straight A's on my report card that my mom said, okay, we can get one because you got straight A's. And so I bought it. And, of course, I had the Mario Brothers Duck Hunt, but I also had to get the game that everybody was talking about at school, and that was The Legend of Zelda. Don't regret that purchase. Jamie?
Mine came from my dad, and I have no idea where he bought it. When I got mine, he also got me Tetris. And I had, I've done the game before Sky Shark, which was like probably one of my earliest shooters that I played, and I absolutely loved it. And later on I was given some games by my mom's friend Ashley, who, you know, rest in peace, she's no longer with us for years. This is the same lady who told no one she was pregnant, didn't change any of her clothes for her entire pregnancy, and her own mother found out when she was giving birth in the bathroom. Just leave that there.
Wow.
So she gave me all of her games after she had her baby. And among them was The Guardian Legend.
Nice. Nice.
So, yep.
DJ Rama S in chat says, non-gaming question, are you ready for Supermarket Sweep tonight? You must have left the room because we had a game show tangent not that long ago. But short answer, yes. But will I actually getting around to watching it, like on Hulu or whatever, to be determined if I can pull myself away from my games long enough? Because I only just this last week finally watched the Pressure Lock reboot. So I'm a little slow sometimes. Leave me alone. All right. let's see. Other questions here. No One Special says, okay, it's basically Halloween season. That being said, is there a game that has a horror vibe, be it an old Resident Evil or Silent Hill game, Nightmare Creatures or whatever, that would be a good fit for the Halloween season that you've always liked playing right around Halloween as a sort of tradition of sorts? Personally, I've always enjoyed playing the first three Resident Evil games and or Nightmare Creatures. Anyone want to take that?
I mean, aside from the game in my background, but that hasn't really been too recent, so, yeah.
I will probably... Oh, go ahead.
I like Final Home. I've played that a couple of times now. Not really.
I will probably be exposed to plenty of Dead by Daylight, thanks to my husband. I'm not huge on the scary games. You guys know that. I mean, I do like Silent Hill and stuff, but I probably won't do a full replay. I like to use the Halloween season to celebrate campy horror movies. So I will probably watch The Addams Family. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark is a must this time of year. Showgirls is one that I wish Jamie and I could get together and watch. but you know, things are what they are. But I like to use this time of year to do scary horror movies. Not scary, but like campy. I love the campy. Yeah. Sleepaway Camp. I'm trying to think of other stuff that's like super camp. That's yeah. Anyway. Let's see. Other comments in chat. ActDef says, what is a game that you've played where you've liked most, if not every single main or secondary character in it? What is a game where you liked every single character in it? Mass Effect? I mean, that's kind of where my head goes.
Keep in mind, I hated Caden at first, just saying.
Yeah, but he said you could most. He said
are,
most was
are
okay.
We're referring to main characters. I actually really do enjoy a lot of the Resident Evil characters. I enjoy, certainly most of the Final Fantasy characters. Yeah. I really enjoyed them.
I would say Final Fantasy 13, and even with Hope and Vanille, you grow to really like them towards the end. And especially in 13-2, I think Hope is really cool. So I think that's a good one, too, in my opinion. And, yeah, I was thinking of this one, too. Shane in chat gives the answer. I'm not surprised to hear it all, saying Hades. And, yeah, as far as, like, recent stuff goes, all the characters in Hades are so dreamy. There's something about that game. There's something about that game. It's so good. Loki, anything for you? Were you enjoyed all the characters?
Say like Final Fantasy VI or
that's a good one.
Maybe like one of the Grand Theft Auto games. I can't say 4 because Roman was a pain in the ass. Maybe 5.
You know, on Twitter, when people say I'm H word on main, they mean Hades. All right. Let's see. Moving on to one more question here. That is. I thought we had another one. Nope, I think I got everything. If we didn't get your question, just repost it, okay? Because I missed it. But now I will read the spam email, but I'm going to omit the name of the company because I'm not giving them a free ad because that would just encourage them to spam me again. So here we go.
We should have spam emails over happy music.
All right. Oh, right? Shouldn't we? All right. Hello, how's it going? Fine, thank you. Hope all is well. I have some cool information that might interest you. Your podcast, Orange Lounge Radio, has good performance in some rankings last 30 days. Position 131 in the category video games, Italy. Wow. Position 168 in the category video games, Finland. 215, Denmark. 221 in the category leisure, Norway. And 221 in the category video games, Mexico. And that was all ACDEFT, apparently.
It's all ACDEFT.
It was just all ACDEFT. This day, no, I know we had at least one other guy in Mexico who listened, probably two, but yeah, I have to joke. ACDEFT's the one that's the most visible here in chat. This data is provided by Beep, a service for podcasters to monitor their reviews and track their rankings hourly. If you want to keep up with everything that's going on in your podcast, you can try it on Beep, Happy Podcasting. So there it is.
We are happy podcastings.
Oh, Bobby is sharing his rankings, and he's outranking us in some places. Check this out. Bobby Blackwolf is 28 in video games in Vietnam.
Jeez.
Ooh.
This is why we don't get variety articles written about us. So, you know.
70 in video games in the Philippines. 79 in video games in Mexico. Hold up. Bobby Blackwolf's more popular than us in Mexico? What a bullshit service this thing is selling. No, I'm just kidding. Enjoy your successes, Bobby. You earned it. Apparently 84 in video games in the United Kingdom. Wow. We didn't even rank in the United Kingdom. But we got Italy, bitch. So... All right. Anyhow. I think that's it. I think we're in a good place to wrap up the show. Oh, yeah, we're at 9 p.m. I think we're good. Actually, we should do some last-minute stories here. So, Loki, I don't know if you have anything you want to get out that we didn't talk about yet.
Don't really have anything.
All right. All right, then. Let's wrap up. Let's do our final thoughts and some good nights. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show tonight. It was a great show. And thank you. Thank you to E, our guest at the top of the show. Really appreciate him being here. It was a great discussion on mental health and gaming. And I hope you're all doing well during these pretty tough times. I know things are crazy. So hang in there. And I'm really glad video games and maybe this show to some extent can be a mental relief for many of you in Italy. And Norway, because we didn't rank anywhere in the U.S., but we sure did in Italy. Woohoo! No, I love Italy. I hope to visit someday. All right. So anyway, let's get final thoughts and wrap up. Dark Sakura, why not? We'll start with you. Your final. Oh, wait. I have to get the usual pitch that I always do. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices here in order to put them on air. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes, especially if you're in Mexico, might help us boost our ranking and help us do better on those types of things. No, in all seriousness, though, word of mouth goes a long way. Auto hosts on Twitch go a really, really long way for both Bobby and us here and other VOG Network shows over at twitch.tv. We really appreciate the auto hosts. So that's awesome. So, okay, now Dark Soccer, I'm sorry. You can give us your final thought.
So please love my blog. GenXGeeksWithAnX.com. Vote. Please make sure that if you haven't voted already, please vote. Do the thing. And of course, I will be on Am I Mental on October 29th. So please give a listen there if you want to learn more about my mental health than you ever needed to know. But yeah, I got a lot of webby stuff going on. Shit, I need a nap.
All right. Get that nap. My final thought tonight. Vote, vote, vote. Darsaka kind of said it already, but I'll say it again. Vote. Have your plan to vote. That's very important. We're hearing that in a lot of places, especially, certain types of like low income and other types of neighborhoods, they are making the waits longer by having less machines or less places to be able to drop off your ballot or vote. So please, very important, have a plan to vote. If you're waiting until the day of to vote, you might have a very long wait. So please have your plan ready. You should have your plan like now. So if you don't have one yet, get on it.
If I may say, I am no less proud of the people who have been enduring the lines. So,
oh, for sure. If that is your plan to endure the line, fucking fantastic. Just make sure you have a plan. That's all. Yeah.
May I add one more little thing to that, Rob?
I guess.
For people who want to volunteer to help those standing in line, there are groups out there who are working on bringing snacks and drinks to those who have been waiting in line for hours.
Well, that's a good idea.
So if I find the information, I'll repost it again on my Twitter, at Dark Sakura.
Who knew that what we were doing when the Wii came out would have influence all these years later on politics, right, Dark Sakura?
Right.
All right. Last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
Just going to be working hardcore on my game.
Do I get to play your game by the end of the year?
Yes.
All right. Woohoo. All right, that's going to do it. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week. We'll see you in 7 days to talk about Halloween and spooky stuff, I guess. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.